This show is brought to you by Onnit.com. Go to Onnit.com and use code word church to get 10% off of all the great optimization products like Alpha Brain, New Mood, Shroom Tech Commune, Shroom Tech Sport. All those great products get 10% off when you use code word church. Show is also sponsored by NatureBox.com. NatureBox ships great tasting, healthy snacks right to your door. Forget the vending machine and start snacking smarter with healthy and delicious treats like dark cocoa almonds. Support this podcast by ordering a free NatureBox sampler box at naturebox.com/Joey. That's right. Free NatureBox snacks are found at naturebox.com. Free. Say that one more time.
Free.
Free at naturebox.com/Joey. And go to MeUndies.com/Joey. And you check out the pics of the men's and women's underwear. They have socks, shorts, shirts, the most comfortable clothing you're going to wear. And right now, they're giving you 20% off of your first order. That's right. We give you the deals here. 20% off of your first order when you go to MeUndies.com/Joey. And they're also going to offer you free shipping in the United States and Canada.
Take your time, Lee. Don't worry about nothing.
It's playing. It should be playing.
What the fuck is going on here? It's the church of what's happening now, bitches. Wednesday. What is it, the 24th or the 25th?
Fourth.
24th of the month. It's a beautiful fucking day to be alive, people. It's going to be July pretty soon. Have you thought about that shit?
Yeah, I have. Oh, my God.
Oh, shit. Lee Syatt, my man, Peter and David. Well, David's walking around like a good sir. You're David, right? Pete, I get confused. You know, I smoke these blowtorch things. Crank that motherfucker, Lee. That's Alice in Chains. Oh, Alice in Chains. That's, what the fuck?
Chains Addiction.
Chains Addiction. Oh, shit. That blowtorch got me all fucked up. Oh, fuck. Turn that up, Lee. Oh, shit. Kick it, Lee. Oh, shit, Lee. Wiggle that motherfucker, Lee. It's the church, bitches. Pacific, East Time, you're early tonight. Who's better than you? Who's better than fucking you, East Coast? Fucking 8:45, we're popping into your fucking atmosphere and shit. Uncle Joey here, Lee Syatt, my main man, fucking David, Peter, which one? We'll just call you both.
David and Peter.
The Apostle Brothers over here. What's happening? Wednesday night, special edition church. Fucking beautiful day to be alive. Hot and fuck today. I don't know, maybe put on this fucking green frog t-shirt. Nah, MMA Junkie gave me this in Vegas. I never put it on. I thought it was going to be a little cool.
You have the AC on at your house?
I'll do that like sometimes. A motherfucker. Oh, yeah. I had the AC blasting today. It's been hot as fuck.
Yeah, but it's great, man. You know what I've been thinking about, and it's kind of girly. I would love to get a convertible at some point. Like, I don't want the Mustang one, but like, I live in California. It'd be kind of cool to have a convertible. I don't know.
You should also get a fucking helmet, because there might be an earthquake and you might get hit with a fucking building. Did you ever think about that?
I'd die anyways
fucking
at that
convertible.
Point.
Convertible. Get it together, all right?
You don't want a convertible?
You don't want people to know you're fucking in the car. You want to drive invisible. Yeah, that's your goal in life. That's the upbringing I had. Even if you got $10 million, you fucking drive, you keep your mouth shut, you keep the music down, you're like an animal, and you just drive. Okay. If you're on the 5, you blast the fucking music. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but you're going to drive with a convertible with your friends waving like you're a politician.
I don't want to wave at anybody.
Get the fuck out. You ever see how goofy they act on Sunset?
Yeah.
You could always tell when they're tourists. They blast and they don't know the wind, your hair's everywhere. Get the fuck, just put the fucking thing down.
I don't have hair.
Not you, but the girls, the hair's everywhere, and they're driving on Sunset, and they're making believe like they're having a good time. Knock it off. All right, just get the fucking car with the hood on it and put the AC on. Everything will be good. How was the drive?
Hot.
Hot. Very Can you imagine hot. With that fucking convertible?
Yeah.
You'd sizzle in California. Yeah. That's a myth. You got to put on SPF number fucking -4.
Even when you're running that fast? I thought like if you were going that fast.
Oh, fuck yeah, man. Uh-huh. I remember driving with Josh Wolf through fucking Lake Havasu with the sunroof open on the Saturn. And we had Visine. in the middle of the fucking thing, and just the sun hitting the Visine. When we got there, we got to put Visine eyes. He put it in his eyes first. His eyeballs sizzled for like 10 fucking minutes.
I've done that.
Okay, you know, that listen, man, that shit, that's in the movies. They do it nice, and everybody's hair gets frozen, and you're like, I can't wait to go to I did it one time. Like, I got to California, somebody, like a year in, I got in somebody's car that was a convertible. It was a jack-off anyway. Like, we're going to a meeting or something. I was never so embarrassed.
Really?
Yeah, I was never so embarrassed.
I've never been in a convertible.
Oh, I was never so embarrassed. I don't like none of that shit. When I go to a restaurant, I want to sit in the back. I don't want to sit in the front and eat al fresco. Who the fuck eats al fresco with germs and dog hair and allergies and your fucking food? You know what I'm saying?
The worst one of that, have you seen Eat on Magnolia? That one, it's like right on that worst part of Magnolia.
Yeah, yeah. No. One time I went there.
It's they have pretty good food, but they have outside dining, like literally in the alleyway because they have no seating. And so at one time I was like, why am I sitting in the fucking alleyway like an animal?
You went on Magnolia, that little strip of fucking Momoville.
That's
there.
The death over there.
Death! You can't death. Go over there. They got a place called Pie. Okay? Now, who the fuck don't eat pie? Who the fuck in America don't want a fucking piece of pie? All right, they've been there for 2 years since Mercy was a baby. We went to that Eat for fucking lunch. We went to that Eat, and I don't know what the fuck happened. Like, it just blew.
We went that one with them for breakfast.
And then we walked over to get a piece of pie for my wife. She was pregnant. It was 20 fucking minutes. So I said, "What? How can you wait? You know,
they
it was
made
like,
it for you right there?
No. They take the order. She gives the ticket to a chick who takes it to another chick who takes it to another chick who cuts it, who then leaves it there for 5 minutes. Then a chick takes it to another chick. You know, it's drama. Yeah, it's fucking drama, dog. I don't want no fucking drama. Besides that, how was jiu-jitsu last night? You digging
it? Oh, my God. Zach asked me that, and I'm not having fun yet. Like, it's not. I have fun talking with everybody. You were right about that. I'm like, a lot of the guys are really cool. But Zach asked me, I'm like, I'm not having fun, but I'm still going to come back because I got beat up last night. I don't know. It was just hard for me last night. That gi gets fucking heavy.
In a year, you're going to sit there and guys are going to walk in like you and you're going to go, wow, the only thing that's different than me and that guy is I've been coming for a year. And your mind's going to blow. You're fucking going to be blown up.
Yeah.
Just keep going. I've always said this to people. And I was looking for something else. I'm not the type of guy that's going to join the Knights of Columbus and go down there once a month and pay dues to hang out with a bunch of dudes and eat pretzels and talk about your wives and your mother-in-law. That's never been attractive to me. I'm not going to fucking join a dart league. I don't want to do nothing that has alcohol involved. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. No, I don't hate alcohol. I don't hate alcoholics. It just drives me crazy when I'm a circle of people and I got to tolerate drunk fucking shit. And
how they act when how they're they drunk. Act. You don't like it.
And it's,
I don't like it either.
And it's funny when you see four guys on TV talking and they're drinking and they're eating popcorn and they're watching like a sports game. America has adopted that lingo. Sometimes you go to a home and there's four guys doing the same thing. It's so cliche. I always hated that shit. Like, it always drove me fucking crazy. So I knew I wasn't going to join. Listen, once I joined the Boy Scouts and I didn't like it, I knew I wasn't involved for a team thing. But I always liked going to martial arts. There was something about martial arts that the kids were cool. They got punched in the face, so everybody knew where they stood. You know, that's basically what it is. You know, Joe says it best about people that go to jiu-jitsu, why they're so nice, because they know at any time you could kill them. I could choke you out or you could choke me out, you know?
I think that's the part I still haven't gotten over yet. Like, the dude who's been rolling with me throughout the four classes is a lot smaller than me. And, like, every time I grab him, I'm like, I'm not used to, like, hurting somebody.
No,
and it's like,
no.
They're like, pull your arms here. I'm like, I'm gonna hurt. Like, not even that I'm strong. It's just like, he's like 130.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, my God.
You're doing him a favor. He's learning from you. He's going to be really good in 6 months because he's going to learn how to move your weight, how to put his hand under your neck and lift up an inch and then slide and go back to his guard.
Well, since I haven't even asked Zach this yet, really, but I have short arms and short legs. So all the chokes are really fucking hard for me. It's hard for me to get all that deep up and then keep my body where it's supposed to be. Like yesterday, we were doing this throw from the back where you had to like grab them around the waist and then twist and then
pick them up and throw them over your leg.
Right. And I couldn't get my elbow to where it needed to be. I had to be like down by his ankles to get it there. So if anyone has any good moves for someone with short arms,
Well, Hika Machado has a great point. He always says, don't make jiu-jitsu work for you. You make jiu-jitsu, well, something, you know, and it's true. Out of all the moves, you're going to learn a bunch of moves that you're not going to be able to do, but you're going to learn a lot of moves that you're going to be able to do that are for your body type. The same way I might not be able to do those, the same way my man here might not be able to do those. So there's different moves you adapt to and you pick up along the way and you get really good at.
Yeah.
There's, even if there's three moves, all you need is one fucking move. Look at what does Ronda Rousey win with every time?
Armbar.
Okay, then. Why do you think she does that? Because she could pop it from anywhere. That's jiu-jitsu. Once I go for that arm, it's night-night Irene. It's all over with this shot. And I'm not going to stop till I get that fucking arm because I've gotten it like that so many times. It's being very tenacious.
At what point do you start actually, like, putting the practice into motion? Because we actually rolled for the first time last night two times. And this one, it blew my mind. The guy I was rolling with did the move we were doing in class. Like, he got my back, and then he, like, twisted me and then put, like, did a, backwards hip escape and then and got me in with the thing. And I was like, we just practiced that. And, like, I had no idea what to do, so I was just trying not to get tapped, I guess. But, like, at what point do you start being like, oh, I should go for that?
The more you go. The more you go. Listen, I've been going for 2 years. I just started doing it about 3 months ago. That's how bad I am. So the more you go and the more you roll around with dudes and the more you get adapted to it, once you start going for it, it's like anything else. Once you start winning at gambling, you go back to it. Once you start, I'm not even saying winning. A guy like you and me, once we see little improvements, we go back because now we know we could do it. You know what I'm saying? It's like when you
got to get rid of the jitters.
Yeah,
first.
When you started making these products, right? You failed a couple times.
Yeah.
You weren't fucking Johnny Bananas right off the fucking gate.
Yeah.
Sometimes, oh shit, this is what we needed to do. Fuck.
You learn as you go along. You learn as you go along
and you progress. And then, you know, it's but you have to stick with things. And there's nothing more.
The things,
you know,
that work.
That, right. Well, the more you do it, you'll find out what works and what doesn't. And you cut the fat out of the process and there you fucking go. You know what I mean? We've done that with podcasting. We go along and see what works. You know, you put out a podcast on a Friday, it don't work. People right, don't download it. You know, it's just very rough.
You don't put it out on Friday then,
You have to. Social media, you can't. You know, there's just so many. Listen, and jiu-jitsu, what I like about jiu-jitsu is that once you get it, you realize it's steps. And it's the same steps every time.
But there's so many fucking steps. Like, the elbow has to be here. It's fucking hard.
It's steps. It's a rhythm. Ba, 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 ba. And then you realize that everything you do in your life is kind of a fucking rhythm. You know, when you walk, when you're on fire, when I'm doing comedy and I'm on fire, if you really listen to what I'm saying, you're not laughing at the words. It's that rhythm. It's, we're in a rhythm. You're throwing and I'm going right back. And it's working. It's working. I know how to do it now. I'm timing your laugh and you're timing my last word. Comedy is a fucking, they think that, you know, it's really fucking weird, but it's because I've done it so long.
Well, you must have it happen where, like, I don't know how to describe it, but, like, in the anatomy of a joke or whatever, if you skip one part of it or you skip one laugh you do or whatever you do, it doesn't work. So it's like in jiu-jitsu, if I don't close my knees when I throw them down, they're not going to fall or whatever it is. Like, if you forget something, it must, like one little piece could derail your whole thing.
I've said since I started doing jiu-jitsu, my comedy has improved. I've said this over and over and over again. I've said this. But who gives a fuck? What's up with you, Tarzan? Talk to me.
I'm high as fuck.
Me too.
If I'm high as fuck, then he's high as fuck.
I had an audition today, guys. It was the weirdest audition I've had in 15 fucking years. When I moved here, I used to get weird auditions. I'd go to see this guy at 5:30. And you walk in, the guy would say, put your hands on the table. What? Put your hands on the table. And you put your hands on the table, and they take pictures of your hand, and they go, thank you for coming down, and you leave. put my mic on a little louder. I'm not hearing it. You know, I would go in for auditions like that. Oh, Joey, they want to see you. All right, send the sides to Lee's house. There's no sides. What do you mean there's no fucking sides? Yeah, they want you to make up a character and go in there with the fucking character. And then it started getting around that people were doing that, the right shows. Like, you come in with a character, they don't hire you, then they keep the fucking character. Little things. I'm all right, Lee.
We got a call coming in.
Oh, shit. What's up?
What's going on?
Who's this?
Sweetie.
Coño con Soturrio.
Yeah, you were calling me, but I had my phone inside the house and I was outside.
All right. What's happening, brother? That's weird that you called just now.
Huh?
I'm sitting here with your nephew. We were just starting the podcast and shit.
Yeah, yeah. What's up?
I told him you want to move to California and be the CEO. He said that he doesn't hire felons.
No ex-felons.
Sorry. No ex-felons. So I can't be hired either. Yeah, we're going to have to give him some work, though. He wants to get out of Jersey. That's it. He wants to come out to the warm weather. He's getting old now and shit.
Yeah, I got
to
help him get on his feet like the Sopranos.
That's right. We got to get him on his feet. You got to give him an envelope and get him on his feet and shit. Look at him. What's going on, Papa?
Nah, everything good. What can I say? Everything's good.
Jesus Christ, I was when I talked to your nephew last night, I was sitting there and I looked up and I'm like, fuck, how long do I know Tweety? How fucking long? I mean, I met you when I was like 10 and I'm 52. I don't even want to ask you how old you are, because if I met you when I was 10 and you're still around, Jesus Christ. But you're one of the last ones, Tweety.
I'm
61. 61. So I met you, I was 10 and you were 19. How old were you when you got married?
21. I got married right then. All right. At 18, 19.
All right. That's when I fucking went to your wedding and everything. Holy shit. Yep. That was a long time ago. You were the guy.
A long fucking time ago.
And then you married her, you stayed with her for a while, but I don't know what the fuck happened.
And then we got separated, and then 2 years later we went back again. It didn't work. So we both went our ways.
Okay, and then I didn't see you for a couple of years, and then you and then you popped into my life in the spring of 1983. And I started going down to visit you. You give me $20. You give me, you know, you talk to me and shit. And I started talking to you about Colorado. And I said, I'm thinking of moving to a place called Aspen. What do you know about it? And you were like,
Aspen. I lived there.
I lived there, bitch.
Yeah. I even know the name of the street, Maroon Creek Road.
Maroon Creek Road, and the name of the business was Far East Treasures. There was one fucking carpet in the window. That's it.
We lived the next house over, Jack Nicholson. The actor, he had a house next door to us.
I remember I used to walk up there and walk around. I was trying to look for you. I would leave you messages on that number.
Yeah.
That was a long
time. That was great over there. It was nice.
I was beautiful. I was like living like white people up there.
Why do they call you Tweety?
Why do they call you Tweety?
My big head.
I'm Tweety
Jr. I was always like Tweety Bird. I was always doing bad things like Tweety Bird and getting away with it.
So after I went to Colorado, I didn't talk to you for a while, and I came back from Colorado and I went looking for you. And what had happened?
Well, I caught that case in the Bahamas in 87. Gone until 89 over there.
In the fucking Bahamas. Who gets arrested in the fucking Bahamas for drugs?
We got arrested.
How is the jail in the Bahamas?
It's like the Pirates' Days. Old cells. No beds. No running water. You shit and piss in buckets.
That's fucked up.
They dump the buckets twice a day.
Do they speak English? I think they do, right?
Yeah, it's French. Yeah. French and English, okay. Right? French and English in the Bahamas, correct?
Uh-huh.
French and English.
Jesus.
I was locked down all day long.
No letters home, nothing like that. Nothing like an American
person. You had to sneak them out. You know, I always found a way of sneaking them out. So... And they would come visit me like once a month. I had some friends there in the Bahamas. They were always leaving me food there. So, you know, I mean, it was bad, but it wasn't that bad. I always had what I needed.
And when did you get out of there?
2 years I did over there.
So 89?
In 89, August of 89, I think it was.
August of 89, I was still in the halfway house. And I didn't go back to New Jersey till 91. Now, when I went back to New Jersey in 91, I went looking for you, and I hooked up with Juan. Where were you in 91?
Miami.
And you were free?
Yeah, I was free.
For how long?
Well, I got out of 89, 90, 91. And I caught this case in 92.
And that's the one with the television and all that stuff. That I, that,
yeah.
That's how I connected with your nephew. Fucking tremendous, Tweety. And you know what? I never stopped thinking of you. I always thought of you. I would go to West New York. I was living in Colorado, and I went back. I hadn't talked to Juan for 6 years. And I went back to New Jersey, and I walked up to 57th Street like a man. He had the little bodega in the middle there. Did you get to see it? In the middle, he bought like an ice cream stop, an ice cream shop, and I went in there, and he talked to me. He was really nice. He bought me lunch. I thought he was going to kill me, but no, it was really cool. And then I asked him about you, and he said, you had been locked up. Didn't I see you on TV with the plane, throwing it out of the fucking plane? I knew nothing. I was living in fucking, you know. I was living up there wearing sneakers and sandals like your nephew, make him believe. My name was Joseph. And now you're out, man, 20 fucking years later.
Yeah.
And I reconnect I reconnect with you through your nephews because I told the story on the Joe Rogan podcast. Over a joint. And they came to see me at Flappers and told me who they were, that they were Tweety's cousins and nephews from West New York. And here we all are together in one room. And now they're fucking up in San Francisco with a beautiful company. They brought me some edibles. I'm fucked up. They got the T-shirts. They got the pipes. They got the fucking, you know. It's amazing how life works itself over. I was really fortunate to get you on the phone last night for you to call up and just talk to us and stuff and talk to me. You know, I love you to death, man. We used to play the congas together at my mother's bar.
I remember that.
At my mother's bar, and we used to play up in your apartment.
Yeah.
Like on 55th Street. You had a place, 56th Street there, and on Hudson Avenue there, you had an apartment. That was a long time ago, Tweety.
Yeah. Many moons ago.
Many moons ago, and we're still walking around. Did you ever think you'd live to be 61 or 60?
Nope.
Me neither. I didn't think I was going to make it to fucking 37. Did you know that, Lisa?
I never thought I would live
to 37. Then at 37, I'm like, fuck it. I'm not going to make 50. And here we are. So, you want to talk to your fucking nephew here and say hello? What's going on?
Yeah, let him say hi real quick.
He's right there.
Right here. Listen, what's going on?
Yeah, what's up? Who's that? David, Peter.
No, this is David.
What's up? How's the baby?
He's good. He's home. He's with... with his mom, his granny, his little sister.
Well, everything's going good over there then, huh?
Yeah. We came down. I had a little business out here and see Joey. Probably either going up tonight or tomorrow morning. Always in the move. Always in the hustle. You know how it is.
Yeah.
All right, we'll tweet.
I'm not going to say when. But I got a trip planned for Colorado.
Aspen.
He's going back to Aspen.
Not Aspen. I'm going somewhere else. I don't know how many miles from there.
What's with the question?
What's with the question?
When I go there, I'm going to shoot over there real quick to spend a day or two over there.
Yeah. It's real pretty up by San Francisco. I'm like an hour or two away.
From San Francisco?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to plan this for maybe next month.
Oh.
How does it feel to be out, Tweety?
Feels fucking great.
Yeah.
What is it like to be...
I got that letter in the mail saying that it was over.
I saw him when he came out. He was super happy.
Fucking 18 years, yeah. I'd be fucking happy too.
Like, what was it like for you, Joey, when you're like... How old were you when you got out?
27. I was a kid.
Yeah, so that's what is it like compared at like 61...
That's not... No, he's been out. He's been out for like 5 or 6 years.
Oh, okay.
How long have you been out for?
5 years.
5 years. So he's been out on parole, working.
Okay, got it.
You know, he's kept his nose clean, just hustling, you know. And now he's off parole after all these years.
Congratulations, man.
No, congratulations. Man, I mean, listen, we don't have enough time to describe what the 80s were like on that fucking Hudson Avenue. It's a book... It's three parts of a movie. It's amazing what happened in those five streets. How many drugs were sold in that street?
You just got to know two things, 80s and Cubans.
Drugs and killings.
And killings, and it was just horrific. It was horrific. And I grew up there, Tweety. You saw me there on those streets working at... When my stepdad had the butcher shop with Nico around the corner. I used to deliver flowers in the fucking summertime over there in Hudson. I used to shoot pool up the corner, and not at Brindy, but the other fucking bar. I forget the fucking names of those places, but.
El Refugio, El Recreo, El Refugio.
That's right, El Refugio. Oh my fucking God. El Refugio. That was the name of the fucking bar on the corner. Are you kidding me or what? And right next to the bar across the street was that Cuban place that had the fucking little Cuban food, like croquetas and sandwiches there on the corner. I fucking grew up there in the summers, guy. I would work a few hours, then shoot down to Union City to my mom's bar, and then go to dinner there and hang out there.
It was cheap, too. Real cheap.
Cheap to live in those days over there.
Expensive as fuck.
I didn't even smoke pot. I didn't do shit in those days. I played basketball on those courts behind Memorial High School. I ate Cuban food for lunch. Then I fucking walked to Union City to my mom's bar, and I ate dinner down there, and I'd see Tweety and those guys drinking and hanging out, and I'd hang out with these guys, and I'd go home at 9 o'clock. You know how we did it, Tweets?
Yeah.
We used to play down there on 63rd and Boulevard East. Right where the sewage plant is, and then every once in a while that shit would hit you.
Oh, in the summer.
All that area down, all down by the river there, all that shit's changed. All houses now.
It's for rich
I remember
people.
I used to tell Nico, Rolling's dad, I said, one day this is going to be prime real estate. He says, nah, they never do that. They never do that. They cleaned that shit up so quick and made money off of that.
They started with Edgewater.
It looks beautiful down there. It looks fucking beautiful. It's a complete different city down there. It's like a city under the fucking city. Tweety, I love you. We're going to let you go. I'm going to have you call in when you call in, and we can talk about the whole thing here.
Is Peter there?
No, he's outside with
Peter's
the dog.
Walking the dog.
Oh, he's walking. Well, tell him I said what's up and to call me one day.
Yeah.
I love
and
you,
I'm
Tweety.
I'm going to let you know. When I plan, because we're planning, because I got a friend over there doing something, and he wants me to go check it out, you know?
All right.
So
yeah.
I want to see when I could, what day I could, you know, make that trip over there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Right over there, I'll drive right over there to you.
Yeah, you have my number. Call me. Text me.
Yeah. Keep in touch, all right?
Yeah.
All right. Love you, kid.
Love you, guys.
All right,
thank
Joey.
You.
Love you.
Love you, Papa.
Yeah.
Be good. Bye-bye.
Were you shaking the floor with your foot?
Yeah, that was me.
Okay, I was having a panic attack. We're good.
No.
Those dabs are strong, dude.
Let me tell you something. He's a good dude, Tweety. I grew up with that motherfucker at a time when it was a different fucking... And I remember going up to him one day. It was like fucking the weirdest thing. And I'm like, dog, I'm thinking of getting the fuck out of here. He's like, where are you going to go? I go, Aspen, Colorado. He goes, I got a house there. Me and some guys. He goes, you can't stay there, but you come visit us. So at least now I had security. I'm like, if something goes bad, I didn't see him, but maybe one time. I went to the fucking business, and then he got busted. It was amazing they were bringing up that much powder up there.
So what was his story? I don't remember. I might be too high right now.
His story was that I talked about him, that he was a guy that was, there was pictures one time when I went back in 91. I guess, I thought it was earlier when that went down. Like in the mid-80s when that went down, but it's different.
I knew him for a short stint. I most of my life, he was gone.
He was gone. Yeah. I knew him, like I said, I was really young. And he, you know, hung out at my mom's bar. I knew him. He was a knock-around guy, and he did this and that. But I didn't know he was involved at that level. Do you know what I'm saying? I didn't know it was at fucking planes and cargoes and shit like that and people. And
if you're hungry enough, you keep on climbing and climbing and
yeah,
climbing.
That was, you know... That was, when I saw him, was 83. And I would see Spanish people in Aspen, and I would scratch my head. You know, Spanish people don't even ski. And they'd be walking around, like, you know, not even with skis on. I knew they were up there. And in those days, when you saw people who moved coke, in those days, they check into three hotel rooms, you know? The two couples and the grandma with the kids. The grandma had the coke in her room. Okay, and she didn't leave the room. She ordered room service. That bitch didn't even go to the pool. And when you went to meet them, they got another room on the third or fourth floor because all their rooms were separate. They weren't connected. It's the weirdest thing, and they were checking at all different times. I would buy coke in those days, and the guy would say, I knew people in those days that would go, just go to this hotel. These guys are in from Miami. They got whatever you want over there. and you go to the one room and they talk to you and they take the money there, and then the guy would fucking pick up a phone and call another room, and then some guy would bring it to another room, and then they'd give you your fucking coke.
All day long.
When you're selling like a good amount of any sort of drug, how much money are you just making? Like boatloads of money. It's just like paying for 4 hotel rooms.
Okay, you're not. Listen. Even at lower levels, you can make money. I know a guy right now that I've known him since 99, let's per se.
Okay.
It's 2015. I got to say he probably makes $100,000, $200,000 a year.
Jesus.
And he's as low level as they come.
And he's probably keeping it real safe.
And he keeps it real simple and safe. Real simple and safe. My allergies are acting up today, people. I'm sorry. It's just been dry here in the heat.
You buy something for 10, you sell it for 15.
But you sell that
over and over again.
1,000 times in a day.
Yeah.
You know? So you bring in a certain amount. Like, let's say 87, when I got caught up with it, I would pay $9,000 for 11 ounces. So do the math. What's fucking 9,000 divided by 11, right? Right? Was that what I said?
Yeah.
11 ounces? Oh, go ahead. Do the fucking math. I'm too high to figure this shit out.
Okay. Let's see. 9,000 divided by 11.
Ounces. So it's about $800.
$818.
Okay. So I would sell those ounces after I cut them for $1,800. So on each ounce, that way, and it was very simple. I had two or three people that I would dump that on, and I would make whatever the math is.
So you made $1,000 profit. So you made 11 grand.
Plus he was cutting it, so he was increasing his total weight.
So I was increasing my total weight, and I was taking some out for myself.
So how much would you sell out of the 11?
I would sell, I would throw 2 on 9 and sell it for whatever, make 10, 11,000, and then I would take 1 and do 1 and sell the other one in grams and fucking 8 balls and shit like that to people I knew. And I'd cut that a little bit.
You know. Who are you cutting it with?
Inositol, baby.
Do you ever watch The Wire?
Yeah, but
you like it?
That's a great show.
I just started watching it.
Yeah, you should watch that. That's a great show.
And, you know, when I started, it was inositol. I knew people cut it with baby laxative, but not really, because you always told it was in there. As soon as I did your coke and I had to go to the bathroom, I knew. But that shit always makes you go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Cocaine is, that's what they say. Cubans do it because it's good for the digestions. When I was a kid, I'd be at a party, and Cubans would take it out and do a couple. After dinner, you want to bump for the digestion? What are you talking about with coffee? You know what that makes you do? Run to the fucking bathroom. There's no digestion. I would think about coke, and I'd have to take a shit. Like if the guy would call me and say, where are you at, Joey? I'm in the office. All right. I'm on Lancashire and Flaminda Street, 2 minutes away. Come downstairs with $100. On the way down the stairs, the shit would be coming out of my ass. I'd pop that first shit fart that's right in your asshole.
That's a good one.
Ooh, it's thick. And then you have to like move your legs like I'm shaking them now. And then you have to walk down slowly. And by the time you get outside and he puts it in your hand, he's talking to you. He's talking to you. But my addiction was so bad at the end that after you put that coke in my hand, it was like Charlie Brown. I'd just sit there until you wear yourself out. And I'd run up those fucking stairs, and I'd fucking go in that bathroom in the back there, and I'd make believe I was taking a shit, and I'd take a dollar bill out, and I'd crush the rock right there into one pile, and I'd stick the fucking dollar bill or the 10 in that bindle, and I'd do the whole fucking gram at one shot. That's how crazy I was at the end.
Were you taking the shit that you needed to take, though?
Oh, yeah. No. And what? Sometimes you take a shit, and there ain't nothing in there. Your body produces it. So if you eat a cookie, it processes it like in 8 minutes. It was horrible. It was a horrible way to fucking live, man.
It's crazy. Like, and like, Chris was there, what was going through it on The Sopranos. I'm really happy that, like, it's fucked up that my thing was food and I gained all that weight, but thank God I was never doing anything, like, hard.
But you're not a food addict. You like to eat. You like to eat. It's not like
it's not on the same level. But
you know, people define addiction through different things.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm not addicted to food. I like to fucking eat. All right. If I was addicted to food, I'd eat fucking the same shit over and over again. Wouldn't you think?
I don't know how it works.
No. How does it work? I don't fucking know.
Some people are overeaters.
Yeah. Addicted to overeating.
Yeah. You smoke 10 of those bong hits and eat one of these edibles, you're gonna fucking overeat naturally. It's not like I'll sit there. We've had discussions about this shit, about binge eating at night and whatever. After I left Jersey, I lost that desire to eat at night because I knew I would never get a meal like I would get at Conlon's Diner or a diner. I like fucking a cheeseburger deluxe, dog, with thick stick fucking steak fries, and I want fucking... That's what I want when I go eat. If I can't have that, why am I wasting my time on the second team?
I saw those pictures you tweeted of Chan's.
Oh my God. I had to tweet them because we were having a conversation with Nicholas Turturro that night.
Yeah, but those were, oh my God. And my favorite part was a little mustard on the side because that's key. That's key for the egg roll. You think I'm going to
throw a curveball at a motherfucker?
I was just telling one of my homies the other day about Disco Fries.
Yeah, they have them right at the fucking Big Wang's too.
LA is close. Up north sucks. The pizza is very bad up there. One out of every 30 pizza joints is like decent. Down here, at least you could find different things to eat, different Asian foods, different... It sucks up north. I'm a foodie.
Well, you're an hour away from civilization.
I mean,
you don't live in San Francisco.
I'll drive an hour and a half to Berkeley to eat something, but it's like...
Berkeley's a college town. It's a bunch of kids confused. Good food up there. Really? You like it?
Yeah.
They got like Mexican tacos and they have sour cream and all that shit.
I'm done with Mexican. Fuck Mexican.
What? How dare
there's like nine taquerias per block out here. Like, I can't do that. I go to the Thai. Thai is really good. Especially near a college, an Asian college, like in Berkeley. Yeah, Thai is real good.
Joey doesn't like Thai.
You don't like Thai?
I'm old school. I grew up with the Chinese. You know what I'm saying? Thai came.
You got to go with somebody like me that'll
I don't have to go
you.
With nobody. Hey, I won't even walk into that fucking place. Because the first person...
Didn't you make someone change a meeting?
Yeah. I made somebody change a meeting, dog.
Oh, you're hard like that on Pad Thai?
I'll go to a Pad Thai at a... I eat Pad Thai shrimp. And I eat Pad Thai chicken. Right, but I'm going to sit next to a guy that's going to put coconut milk in his soup, and I'm going to have a heart attack. You understand me? I'm going to sit across from a motherfucker that's eating something with curry in it, and I'm going to have a heart attack.
Orange
soup. I'm going to sit across from somebody who's barefoot, and I can see his big fucking toe all black from walking around all day and not washing his asshole. That's why I can't eat at a fucking Thai place, all right? You want the fucking truth, because I don't want some guy eating curry next to me and barfing and fucking that goat milk and shit. I don't need that coconut milk in my soup. I'm from a civilized civilization. You understand me? I don't need no fucking, like, I'm a savage, coconut milk in my fucking soup with clams and shit. What the fuck? So, what, Lee? What, you cocksucker?
I'm fucked up. How you
I know
you're doing?
I'm good. I'm tip-top Magoo. It was a beautiful
those
day to
be alive.
Those
dabs are fucked up. Those dabs are interesting.
That's why I'm coughing.
They sneak up on you.
They sneak up on your throat. Now I'm coughing like I got a pubic hair or something.
We were rushing, you know. Normally, you pace them out, but we're like... Like
well, the dog was making me nervous. I thought he was going to fucking get a flashback and bite us in the ass from his TSA days.
No, that's a cute dog.
Yeah, he's a cute dog.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yes.
This is a fucking big business. I'm watching this edible business. I love them. You know, I hope to be off the weed pretty soon. I'm going to do the morning joint with an edible. Seriously.
Edibles hit you different, though.
I don't care. I like it.
I like it.
I'm really starting to like it. You know what I did for a week? I stopped eating edibles. And I noticed I was getting higher from the weed.
When did you stop eating edibles? A
couple weeks ago. You didn't notice nothing. See, because that Wednesday I only ate one star, which is nothing to me.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? I eat a star, it's like, give me a break. It's like eating a fucking jellyfish. One of those red fucking jelly stars, whatever the fuck it is.
Swedish fish?
Yeah, Swedish fish. Same thing. But I stopped and I was getting higher when I smoked. But you know what? I like going to jiu-jitsu and I like that my lungs are expanding. And I'm lasting 8 minutes now instead of 1 minute. So, you know what, I'm 50, I've been smoking for 30 fucking years, I want to give it a breather. So I'm going to get to the point where I could just eat an edible, you know, a little half edible in the morning. I could control it. By 12 o'clock, I just can't do jiu-jitsu and eat an edible. I'm scared.
Really? You don't do that at all?
No, I did that before.
Yeah, but your heart starts going boom,
yeah,
boom,
your heart
boom,
starts
boom,
beating.
Boom, 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 boom.
And once you're on the bottom, you don't know how to get out. You're going to have a panic attack.
Sometimes you get hot when you're high, too. Okay,
yeah. Fuck that. No. I learned my lesson the fucking hard way. You know what I'm saying? So you're still making the Goomies, correct?
Oh, yeah. This is
and
just
now
new
products. No more peanut brittle.
Right now, it's white chocolate-based products and gummies.
And what are the flavors you got these in?
We have cookies and cream. We have a strawberry milkshake, banana dream, espresso, and a rice pudding horchata bar.
Now let me ask you this horchata bar. 250 milligrams still?
Yeah, 250 of oil.
Hash oil?
Yeah, it's not of THC, it's of oil.
That's why you feel like you're fucking floating.
Yeah,
I love it. I love this. I love this. You could see the differences. You could tell the differences in some of the edibles. We've been smoking, you know, and that's the other thing. With the edibles, it's like anything else. You build a resistance up to them. You know, he gives us a bag of stars at 125. We eat them for 10 days straight. I don't want to fucking see a star, not even at night. You know what I'm saying? I don't even want to fucking see a star at night floating, shooting, whatever the fuck they are. So,
fuck stars.
I like switching them up. I like switching them up.
My brother can only have half of one of these, and he's like, if he has a whole one, he's like wasted and he's done.
I had two of them.
My buddy has eaten 6 and 7 of these.
Oh, you know? He's a fucking savage.
Yeah, but he's the only one that I've ever seen that could do that. He's crazy. He's ridiculous.
Yeah, he's probably got a fucking imbalance or something.
Other people have, other edible companies have been like, dude, I can't get him high either.
Have they figured out, well, like, what it is that makes it different for every person? Because there's always that one person who comes to a show and was like, I had 2 stars and nothing happened. And I'm like, well, that's
the kid we met with, the nice guy.
A bunch of people have said it to me, and it's just like, I wonder what it is. Is it like, is something in someone's body just doesn't react to THC?
I don't know. I've never really looked that up. That's a good question. That's something good to look up. Metabolism probably has something to do with it, like with edibles. If your body processes food quicker, it's going to process an edible quicker in and out of your bloodstream. So.
I don't know how it works. I wish I had the answers. I thought it was a bigger person. I had a friend that said if you eat it with cheese, you get higher. I've had a mangoes. Thousand things.
If you eat any kind of weed with mangoes, you're high life longer.
Mango helps you, your digestion. It helps break down food. That's why they sold mango pills for years, 300. Yeah. I would eat the whole bottle of those things. In fact, the mango things were strong in the 80s. So I would go buy an inositol to cut coke. And they'd say like 2 mangoes for $10. And I'd buy 2 of those mango enzymes and I eat the whole fucking thing. Like I ate a whole bottle of Fred Flintstone fucking vitamins when I was a kid. I shit blood for like 3 fucking days.
Those were good. I had Fred Flintstone.
In the first grade, I ate a whole fucking bottle of Fred Flintstone pills. Tasted good. I got all fucked up on Fred Flintstone pills in the first grade.
Well, they're really sugary.
Yeah, I got all fucked up on it, you know. It's first couple times I did coke, I didn't get high. 1980 cocaine. First 6 months I did cocaine. I didn't get high.
Why do you keep doing it?
Because I saw everybody else losing their mind. And I thought, what the fuck is going on with me? Something ain't right. And one night I figured out, drinking. I would drink with it, and all of a sudden it'd take me to a different planet. If I didn't drink with it, I was so high strung in those days that it wasn't doing nothing.
Everybody says the same thing.
It wasn't catching on to me. It was the weirdest. And then once I started drinking 2 beers and then doing a blast, it was over. What's up, Lee?
I wouldn't recommend anyone do that.
No, I don't want nobody to do cocaine. That's the fucking point here. You understand? I don't want nobody to do fucking blood. So we talk about this. It's funny. I got a lot of... My email system has been fucked up on the computer. On one computer, I get the old email. And then the new computer. On the computer at home, I get the new emails. On the computer that I take on the road, I get the old emails. This is the weirdest thing I've ever encountered.
Yeah, I've been having similar issues too.
So I answer them accordingly. And I got to tell you something. The last 3 weeks, it's been a lot of drug fucking issues. A couple people's dogs have died, you know.
Jesus.
Yesterday, my friend, a kid who listens to the show, his dog got paralyzed. They had to put him down. My heart goes out to the family. I forget what the fuck his name is, but it don't matter. My heart goes out to his family. The fucking dog died. But it's been very rough that...
It has been.
A lot of people hit me up with drug things, so I don't know what the fuck's going on.
The dog got into the drugs? Or
No. The dog just got paralyzed. He was 80 years old. Who the fuck knows?
But it's so weird. I actually just got hit up by my old camp counselor. He listens to the show. Like I haven't seen him in over 10, 15 years. And he sent me this email last night that he moved to London for a girl, and then they broke up, and then he got cancer, and then he was in prison, and it just... And now he has his own company in Portland, Maine, like weed T-shirts and growing weed. But it's just amazing how like quickly like bad things can happen. Like stuff like that happens to a lot of people, and I feel really bad. Like
where life takes you,
just one bad thing after another. Like you never seem to like. I've been pretty lucky. I mean, I've had some ups and downs, but something always picks you up. But that must suck.
You know, you're very young. You're a nice kid. You really keep to yourself. You know you. The more you keep to yourself, the less you'll get in trouble. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I figured out at 19
20, that if I went out five nights a week, I was going to get in trouble one of the nights. So I cut it down to three. I'm serious. This is how retarded I was. With me, it was always an odds game. That's why I became an econ major. I love numbers. I love seeing what happened at this time last year and seeing what's going on at this time this year. I love all that shit. I've always loved it. Don't I always call you and ask you how the numbers are you selling?
Holidays and everything.
I love all that shit. You know, I want to know what the fuck, because listen, the numbers don't lie. Everything else could lie.
There's a reason for everything.
Everything has a reason. So, what are we talking about?
When bad stuff happens.
When bad stuff numbers. Happens. You know, if you go out after 6 o'clock at night, something bad's going to happen. You know, if you hang out with fucking morons, something bad's going to happen. In my case, I was that moron. You know, I didn't know that going in. I thought I was being slick. I was going to rob somebody from cocaine. But that wasn't the first time I did that type of shit. I had been doing that, playing that card for years, not in that capacity with a gun. I was robbing drug dealers. You know where I was from? And the, you know, these, from where I grew up and then where I went to, I would see holes in their game.
Pick a niche.
Drug dealers outside of where I grew up left holes in your game. When you're a career creep like me in those days at 19, that I'm looking for a kilo of coke, I'm going to get it from you. I'm going to watch it till I get it. So you can't leave no holes. What's a hole? The guy that goes out to the clubs. The guy that, you know, there's just little holes. Little things that guys do.
Like a raptor.
That a guy like me sees and attacks that fucking hole. That's all it is.
So how long, like, could you be, like, looking at somebody for, like, 6 months just to see what they do? Or, like, how long would it take?
What's the prize, you know?
Let's pretend, all right. I'm going to tell you a story. I'm not going to say no names. It happened in Colorado.
Okay.
I watched this guy for about 3 months. I was involved in a circle of people, and there's something about this guy I didn't like. And he had arguments with friends of mine, and he was like the dealer that was getting the 5 kilos.
Te cayó malo.
Huh?
Te cayó malo.
Yeah, he just didn't jazz with me. And I could tell he didn't like me, and because he didn't like me, I didn't like him. But he was a certain person. Like, I know in life you don't like certain people, because if not, life wouldn't be the same. He was the type of guy that I had encountered every 2 or 3 years. He just didn't like me, and I just didn't like him. But the people around me dug me to death. So the guy owned, his sly was a restaurant, a cold cut restaurant, all right? And that was his first hole with me. This was up in Snowmass. But I knew he was getting the powder, and he was giving it to 3 or 4 people. And I was tight with 3 of the 4 people he was giving it to. I was tight with his whole circle. So I didn't know. I inadvertently got a job shoveling snow. And I would shovel in front of his house. But I would never shovel in front of his house. I'd make the other guy shovel in front of his house. I'd shovel 4 buildings down, but I'd watch his door. And I got his fucking programming down. And most of the days, he went skiing. Once you go skiing, I got you.
For at least an hour.
I got you.
Yeah, no way
that
down.
That gives me, even because it would take me 15 minutes. All the apartment buildings were the same. I knew each room. I knew each nook and cranny. You know, if I would go out at night and I'd see him at a bar and he didn't see me, I'd shoot down to his house and see if his roommate was home. And then my buddy made the keys for all the apartments. So it took me 3 months. In the 3 months, I was picking off other people. You follow me? I was saving this guy for a fucking rainy day. And I was going to hit him just for personal reasons. And you know what? I knew. This is how crazy I was at 19. I knew that even if he knew I'd hit him, there wasn't shit he was going to do to me. There wasn't shit he was going to do to me. I knew he was going to come up to me and put the finger on me. But there wasn't shit he was going to do to me. That's how crazy I was. After my mother died 4 years in, let's see how fucking crazy you are. And at the time, I wasn't messing around with weapons, but I had one. I was just a yahoo. You know, I was like that black guy that comes at you with the gun twisted and shit. I had no idea about shooting, nothing. But I knew I didn't like this guy. So because I didn't like him, this had become personal. So I hit this motherfucker a couple times. That was my signature.
Once wasn't enough.
Once wasn't enough.
Now, do you ever like...
But another thing I was doing, since it was a small community, I wasn't hitting them for everything. I was leaving... Oh, dog.
You're juicing them?
Oh, I'm a... Dog! Like, I'm a professional torturer. So I would come to your house, and instead of clipping 50 of these bars, I clipped 20 of them. Now it caused controversy with you, your brother, your grandmother. Somebody took these 20 fucking bars.
Who comes in and just steals 20, you know?
And I would listen to the street. I would listen to the bars to see what people were saying. There was a lot of times I would rob a guy. He had too much pride to go out and say somebody robbed him. When you rob a drug dealer and they think they're cool, but they ain't shit. They're just a college kid that their dad lent them $5,000 because they were going to start a skateboard company, but they get into the powder business. Those were the pigeons I was looking for in those days. Those are the pigeons I was looking for in those days. You follow me? So I would clip those guys. Now, I wouldn't clean you out. I wouldn't clean you out unless I didn't like you. Okay, so the first time I hit that fucking jerk off was Labor Day weekend. His guard was down. When you sell coke, you got to have somebody at your house at all times. If I see that you got drunk and got high, you were going down. Your game had to be super tight in my fucking world. Because if you were out getting coked up or whatever, and me and my buddies in those days got a hold of you, I mean, when I lived in Colorado, like, I hung out with guys in Jersey that were kind of crazy. But when I moved to Colorado, I picked up, like, two or three friends in Snowmass that were fucking crazy. One of them being this dude from Ohio that was out of his mind. He grew up in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And he grew up the son of a fucking Marine. Like, that's where they trained down there and shit. So he was crazy. Diaz, I'll kill him. I'll kill a motherfucker. You know me, Diaz. I almost killed my stepdad when I was fucking 18. I seen him smacking my mama. I mean, this dude was crazy. So I had him in Colorado. I had some crazy guys in Jersey. But I was out of my mind because of the pain in my heart and the anger I had at the world. Not because I was a tough guy. That was what I put on you. I wanted to put on you what I was feeling inside. So when I didn't like you and I knew you didn't like me, so the first time I hit this dude was Labor Day weekend. I found out he was hiding shit in his business. Right? Not in the safe either. Because he was paranoid that if the cops would come, he'd have cash in there. And I heard this at a party from two girls that were talking amongst themselves. I was sitting there. I just heard the jackpot. You know me. I got Jew ears. I got those Auschwitz ears. I'll hear shit going down fucking 2 miles down if they're getting the matches ready. I fucking know. I got
that's a new shirt.
What's that? Auschwitz ears? Yeah. Shit, yeah.
Or a hat.
And I'm listening to her say that he usually puts it in his office. That's it. That's it. That was it. So I went there Labor Day. I went in there to get a sandwich, and they said that, oh, he's in Glenwood Springs doing something. But bam. These fucking people couldn't deal with my savviness. So the first thing, he used to have a back door in the back where people went outside and they, I took a razor blade. I buffed the sides in and I put it in a hole where the door locks. That was number one, okay? That was tick number one. I did that about 3:30. They opened till 5. And then at 5 to 5, I went in there, made believe something was lost. And there was still a bunch of people in there, so she didn't see me, and I went and left the back door open. She had closed it already, and I just twisted it and walked out, so the back door was open, plus I had the double on it. So either the door lock didn't come in all the way, and I could jimmy it. That they had no security. These people were fucking, they trusted everybody. It was like nice white people. Oh, yeah. You know, if the door's open, lock it. Not in my fucking world. Your door's open. I'm taking something. And I went up there like 10 o'clock at night. People were at bars. I could hear the people partying at the bars perfect. I went to the bars to let people see me. Hey, what's up? Let me get a Coke with fucking lemon in it. What are you drinking? Rum and Coke. They don't fucking know nothing. They think I'm partying. Right within the thing would start, I'd shoot over there, boom, kick the door down. I went in the back office. He had fucking 8 ounces of blow. I went in the fucking thing where he had the thing. He had another $1,800 cash, and I took him for like another two. I remember I went home, I couldn't fucking sleep, guys. I just kept doing little bumps in the back of the room. I couldn't even tell my roommate I had 4 ounces, whatever the fuck I had.
How exciting was that?
Oh, my God, at 19, you know, and I knew rich. That, and I was rich, and at the time, I didn't spend much. You know, I was robbing coke, so the dude I lived with was from North Bergen. He was in charge of condos. he worked for a company named VPM. So he was in charge of condos. So I would know who was in the condos, who wasn't, who was out of town. I would ask him. And he would tell me to stash shit at certain condos because they were doing work on them or they weren't doing work on them. Do you understand me? So I took, the next morning I got up and I told him, what kind? I go, no, I found this jewelry and a piece of hash I want to hide. I hid the fucking ounces. I hid the fucking cash. And I took like $1,000 cash and I took a bus down to Glenwood Springs. No, I didn't do that the next day. I'm lying to you. I forgot all about that. I waited like till Wednesday. I went to Glenwood Springs and I bought a stereo without the radio. I didn't want the radio. So what did I buy? An amp.
Okay.
I bought an amp with a double cassette deck and a pair of speakers and some earphones. That's what I spent my money on. I kept $1,000, but I bought the stereo for my room. I'll never forget that. And I bought Madonna's first CD.
Did you see him after that?
I saw him after that. And it was reported to the community that he had gotten robbed for cash, that somebody had kicked in the door. They didn't say nothing about the cocaine.
Of course not. It's going to go on the police report. Now, do you ever...
I made like slight inquiries about it, like to people that were cool with me. Like, what happened to that asshole? And they would say, fuck. Because a lot of people didn't like the guy. He was born like with a golden spoon in his mouth. Hmm. That was the rumor about him. So he always had that air of, you know, I'm a fucking better than you. And then cocaine came along. And now he acted like he was a drug dealer. But you and I knew he was a fucking jackoff. He just knew people who trusted him. They knew he had that business. So they would give him, you know, $200,000 on consignment. And he would just give it to five guys in Snowmass Village. And then the second time I popped him in his condo at a Christmas party. I waited 3 months till his fucking thing got down again.
Always while people are partying, having a good time.
And what I was doing to him at first was he lived with a dude that was a chef, a personal chef. So the personal chef dude was tight with me. So he'd be telling me the schedule without him knowing. You know, the guy would tell me the schedule without him knowing of the drug dealer and his schedule. So I knew when the guy was going to be home or he wasn't going to be home. And for about a month, I was just taking 2-3 grams out of his bag. I had the key to his door, guys. I had the whole thing. I'd wait for him to go skiing. I'd go in. I'd take 200 for lunch. And a couple fucking grams of toot I would take him for. And then right before I found out I was leaving, I took him for fucking like 6 more ounces. And then he raised his hand. And then by that time, I had banged out so many drug dealers in Aspen and Snowmass that the word was out that somebody, they couldn't figure out who the fuck it was. They were hunting him down. They had no idea who the fuck it was. I was playing him because I wouldn't snort blow in front of them. So they knew I didn't snort blow. I would get my roommate to buy coke for me or somebody else to buy coke. And I'd make up it was for Lee, a guy at work. You follow me? So they didn't know I didn't snort blow. So why would I be robbing blow if I didn't snort blow? Fucking crazy life I had back then.
Think of everything.
That was fucking crazy. And then they nailed me. They nailed me. Once they nailed me busting into the jewelry store, they put everything on me. And everybody figured it out. But by the time they put it all together, I left town. And I came back 2 years later and it was forgotten. They had gotten so drunk for those 2 years, they had forgotten I was there again. See, that dab fucks up my throat. You understand me?
I feel you don't. Do you ever, like, notice now, like, if someone's creeping around your neighborhood, are you more aware of that?
Yeah, because I know the footage. I know how you walk. I know the desperation in your walk. I know your eyes. You know, I know how you... I shouldn't see you go up and down the block twice. Right there, bam, a car. I know all the fucking movements. Because I was doing those movements, you know?
Have you ever pulled anyone aside and be like, hey, man, don't do that around here?
No, I'll just stand different. I'll let them know that I know without saying nothing.
Oh, fuck. How do you stand?
You sit down and you sit out there with a chair. And you smoke a joint outside or something. Very nonchalant. They know, but you know when somebody's watching you. When I would be in a neighborhood creeping, or in an apartment building, or in a house, as soon as I saw somebody, the deal was off. But I always had an excuse to be there. You understand me? You always have an excuse to be there. Why are you in this hallway? Fucking David lives 2 doors down. Oh, okay. Oh, no, because somebody's been robbing an apartment. Really? That's fucking crazy, man. Have a good night. You have to have a reason to be back there. You just can't say, I'm looking for my friend's apartment. Dead. You know, you have to have, why are you in this neighborhood? Why are you on this block? Why are you behind this house, you know, with binoculars on and a fucking tub of Vaseline, you know? Because I'm looking for fucking birds at night. That's why, cocksucker.
Bird watch.
It's just really weird. That was a really weird life. And I've been writing about it the last fucking 2 years. And I was writing that whole thing. And I couldn't believe how creepy I was as a human being, you know?
Imagine if you'd gone, like gone caught and then got out now, like Tweety. Like, if you were just getting out now, like, what do you think you'd be doing?
You'd have to get a job, first of all.
Well, listen, man, my biggest fear of all time was that I wasn't going to end up doing anything. And you ever go into a fucking Subway sandwich, and there's a guy at a Subway sandwich with a tattoo on his hand from 1965, and he's got long hair, and he's still holding on to that shit. But now he's 53. And he's got an old lady, but this is what he could earn now. Because for 10 years, he fucked off. I never wanted to be one of those guys. That was my biggest fear at 25. That is why when I go to the Comedy Store, I go down there and I do a set and I leave. Because I didn't want to be that old guy that was still holding on. You know, you've both been to places. You've walked, and I'm not putting anybody down. I'm talking about a man or a woman who's let their life go through, who let their life pass before their eyes. They didn't think. They thought for years, woo, Leonard Skinner, and there's a party, and it just, dog, 20 years goes by. That hot chick ain't that hot no more. Now she's a sperm bucket. Her ass, her tits are droopy. She's still good looking from a distance, but you can see she's got 1,000 fucking years of pain in her fucking from sleeping with men or whatever the fuck they're doing. And you see the guys at my age with a missing fucking tooth and with a tattoo that says, you know, Cheap Trick or whatever the fuck they were into. And now you're at a Subway sandwich, bro, as an assistant fucking manager. That's reality. You've seen those guys, Lee. You've seen them fucking too. And you don't say nothing, you don't judge, but you know what their past is by looking at them. Somewhere along the line, they fell asleep for 10 fucking years. They went to a concert, they followed the dead, they joined the cult. They made a fucking crucial fucking mistake here. They did something. You know, life goes by fucking fast. You know, people have been telling me lately, you've been angry lately. Sure, you get angry, because I'm fighting up a fucking ladder now. I pissed away 30 years doing fucking blow, 27 years doing blow. I'm very happy to be where I am and that I did something with my life. But guess what? I could have done much more. I threw away 20 years of my life snorting that fucking powder. And you know what? It went by like this, brother. It went by like that. And that's what happens to those guys when you walk into a Subway. You know they don't own the fucking Subway. Okay? It's not when you walk into a liquor store and a guy's broken, but he's broken because he's been at that same fucking liquor store since 1962, you know, and he's owned it. I ain't mad at the fucking guy. You know, he knows his business and shit. By the way, when I met the dude from the Star Anarchy last week,
yeah,
I went somewhere and I got caught and I had to go down Riverside. And as I was pulling in to meet those kids with all the Anarchy edibles,
yeah,
as the chubby chick from the fucking bar, from the liquor store came out, the nice white chick
that's
married
there?
To the black dude. She's a dynamite lady. Remember we gave her an edible one day?
Yeah.
And you kept saying, how can you give her that? We gave her all those goomies. We gave her those goomies.
We did.
And we just gave her 250. We don't know what her head is like. We didn't give a fuck. She's so cool with us. Every time we go, we talk to her. She always asks me if I'm going to play the lottery. You ain't going to play the lottery until I play the lottery. It's $18 million, Papa. So I put one day, I said, you get high? She's like, fuck yeah. I gave her those goomies in my eye. I see her like a month later. She's like, that was terrific. So I saw her last week. And she was going into her husband's truck, the black dude, the nice black dude.
Okay.
And I go, honk, honk. And they both looked at me, and I'm going. And she's like, and she walked over, and she goes, what's up, baby? And I go, here you go. And she's like, oh, shit, I know what I'm doing the rest of the day. So if you stop in and ask her what happened with the fucking edibles that Uncle Joey gave her.
Okay. You love doing that. You love, like, just giving it to, like, waitresses. You gave it to that stewardess one time. And the funny thing, you don't even get to see what happens. You just imagine what happened. They can, like, laugh at it.
Let them go home and think about what happened. Who the fuck could have given me that?
Most of the time,
I got pulled over
it.
Last night. Did I tell you guys I got pulled over by the fucking cops? on Lancashire by Bank of America.
Motherfuckers.
I dropped the Agostino off, and I had to put gas in my car because I was on E. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the Bank of America, get some cash, and put it on E and get a cup of coffee. I went in my wallet. I had a $5 bill. I go, you know what? I thought I had more money. So I went in the little center compartment in the car, and there was nothing. And then I went in the thing between the armrest, and in there was a $5 bill and a single. And I go, all right, I'll go to 7-Eleven. I go to Bank of America, and then I'll go get gas. And as I went to Bank of America, I see a dude walking down the street with no T-shirt on, bleeding from his back, with shorts on, dirty, homeless. You know, I don't know what he was. And something, it was 10 o'clock, and it was 11:30 a fucking night. And I went to the Bank of America, and I said, you know what, I'm not even going to take the money out. I'm going to catch him. I thought I would catch him, but you know where you slide out? He was going to walk, and I had those two T-shirts in the car. And the band guy sent me. I had two T-shirts in the car, and I had the $6. And as I pulled out of the bank, I couldn't find him. He fucking disappeared. And all of a sudden, I look, and he's sleeping by a little crevice by the Bank of America. They have those little benches.
Yeah.
Now I know for a fact if I give him the fin, nobody's going to let him into this business. You know what I'm saying? Like, you need a T-shirt to go into a business.
Yeah.
So I said, I'll give him a T-shirt, and I'll give him $5. It's 11:30 a fucking night. So I pull, I make a left, which was legal. Everything was legal. And I go, yo, come here. I got something for you. And he runs over, he cleans himself off. He looks like a fucking POW. He's like, what's up, man? He goes, you're not going to shoot me, are you? I go, no, I'm not going to fucking shoot you. Here. Here's a T-shirt. I put the $5. I didn't say there was $5. I go, here's the T-shirt. He goes, thanks, man. Now I get up to Sun Valley. This is really cool of you, man. And he looked at me, he goes, why'd you do it? And I go, I just did it, man. I don't know. Don't ask fucking questions. He goes, thank you very much. I got to go. I got to get to Sun Valley. He walks away and he looks at me. He goes, hey, can I give you some advice? What? He goes, don't believe a word Tipper Gore says. And he just walked away. Tipper Gore? What are you fucking talking about at 11:30 at night? And as he went to walk away, a cop went to make a right and almost hit him. And the cop's like, beep, beep. And he puts the fucking lights on. I'm like, oh, here we go. And the guy gets out, and then they leave the car in the middle of the street. So I'm stuck, and he goes, you, turn the ignition on. What's going on here? Is this a drug deal? Yeah, I'm buying fucking drugs from Harpo Dirt over here. You know, what's he selling me? Crack rolled in fucking dog shit? Look at his fingers. I won't even want to fucking, you know. I go, nah, man. I was pulling. The guy had no shirt on. I wanted to give him a couple bucks. I come over here and take a deposit out, and He had no fucking shirt on, and I figured $5 in a shirt, at least he'd go in some place and get a fucking soda. And he was very valiant of you, like, you're the fucking scumbag, yeah. You know? I just was trying to, you know what I'm saying? What the fuck?
What'd you do?
And he goes, I'm not gonna, so you're okay? Were you drinking? No. Do I look like I'm drinking? No, I'm drinking. I went to fucking do a podcast, what the fuck is that one, at the Comedy Store. He goes, all right, go ahead, leave. They didn't even ask, they're such fucking pieces. They didn't even ask me for my license. I could have been a mass murderer. I could have been wanted in 18 states. You see what I'm saying, dog? Laziness. Customer service and laziness.
Have you had an edible before?
No, I didn't do nothing last night. I told you, I didn't do dick last night. I just smoked. I smoked a hash joint, a joint with hash in it that they gave me at the weed store. It wasn't bad, but it's not that other shit. There's a brand that people give you. It's a $15 joint. It's got, like, bazooka milk in it, hash, keef, lightning, strike. It got dabs in it. This shit. Me and Lee smoked it.
At the store?
At the store that night. We drove up the thing, and we were like, this was fucked up. It came in a tube.
Yeah, someone gave it to you at the store.
At the store. Night, yeah. And I went into a weed store next time. I go, do you guys have this? And we're like, we're not allowed to sell that. That's death. They're like, well, that got glass in it and fucking Topanga juice and all this shit. I'm like, good. That's what we need. Somebody gave me another one, so I smoked it with fucking the kid from Tennessee, my neighbor, last night, and we went down to the Comedy Store.
Oh, that's fun.
The blonde-haired kid. Yeah, you gotta do something.
You excited for Boston this weekend?
Fuck yeah, I'm excited for Boston. Even my man, those Goomies from Miles, got connections in fucking Boston. They got connections everywhere.
That's gonna be fun.
Let me talk to you about something. So he gets an email one day that you're switching from those Goomies and Manos to fucking Nailed It Life. I go to those Goomies and my nothing comes up. Nailed It Life still comes up. So what are you doing to me here?
No, they're both. LosGummiesHermanos.com brings you to Nailed It Life contact form. That's the only thing. Nailed It Life is still there.
So tell me what you're doing with the vapor pen. You don't want to sell the vapor pens no more?
No, we're still doing the vapor pens.
Okay, but you're focusing on the edibles now.
Yeah.
Give me one more of those. What's the other flavors you got in there?
You should try the rice pudding one.
Let me try the rice pudding one. How many calories in these things? Fucking 300. They smell like 300.
Oh, yeah, we did the math on these. This is a brand new product, like super brand new. We brought them down for you. I think we figured them out to be less than 100 calories.
Per square or the whole thing?
Per square, yeah.
Wow, that's not bad. I had 700 calories left. Guess I'm down to four. My wife made tilapia anyway, with little red, yellow potatoes, so it's not too bad. I got a couple carbohydrates. What's up, Lee? You want another piece?
No.
How much did you eat so far?
Edibles don't
I ate half the edible, and then I smoked the
That's it? No, it's time for another piece.
I had 125 milligrams.
You got to try the Okata. How are you going to sell it to mama? 125
milligrams.
Which one's that one?
There you go. Oh. Oh. You're going to give this to grandma. Give this to your mother-in-law.
Okay.
No, no, eat that. That's yours.
You have to eat it.
Gotta eat it. For the Mexican people in your life. That's deliciously. Or chata.
Oh, yeah. Like cinnamon.
What happened?
That's what it is, right? I can't eat the whole thing.
What do you mean you can't eat going, man?
I'm high as fuck right now.
What do you got to do tonight? You got a ballet?
Survive?
Survive. You're gonna go home. You're gonna watch The Black and the New Orange. And you're gonna knock yourself out. That's deliciously.
It is. I'm just really high.
That's okay. Eat another piece. That's good for you. Fucking guy.
We're trying to expand down here, down in the LA market. We're trying to get into a bunch of clubs.
So where are you now?
Right now we're in Northern California.
That's it.
We're in a couple of spots in Oakland, but mostly patient to patient. We deal with people that just buy a bunch off of me.
And it's a nice fucking thing because they're great. Let me get some more chocolate juice there. They're delicious.
You know what the thing about edibles is? There's a lot of mouths to feed. You just put down like six of them right there, and you named like another six edibles that you had in the last week, and you like them all, and they're all delicious. There's a lot of mouths to feed.
And these work. Jeez.
Yeah. Some of them don't work.
Some of them don't work.
Some of them do work. Yeah.
Remember the things the guy dropped off?
Which ones? We got a lot of edibles here.
Some guy dropped off some stuff. They were terrible. I gave it to Lee. That's how I know.
When
I
like go, the Jolly Rancher ones?
There were big lollipops. And I go, Lee, eat this.
Yeah.
When Lee don't get high.
Candy's rough. You can't over-medicate candy because you got that in your mouth for like 15, 20 minutes, and you're sucking on that horrible tasting candy.
Yeah, no. It needs to be like 2-3 bites max.
It's got to be right down for it to be a strong candy.
My favorites are the gummies. I love your Los Gummies Hermanos. And it's like, they're just like the perfect amount. And you can even just, like, if someone's new, they could just bite the head off and be perfect.
When I first bought my license, which had to be maybe 2005, 2006.
Like a pot license, you mean?
Yeah. The edible game was completely different. They were huge, Lee.
Yeah.
Lee, huge. You had to eat a fucking chocolate cake to get 100 milligrams.
Jesus.
Like, and there was no standard for strength.
There was either. No standard. It was
horrible.
2 strength,
3 strength, 4 dose.
And Ralphie May, I love him with all my heart. He would buy s'mores that were 200 milligrams. Like, that was like the highest dose then, like 150, 125. There was no Chiba Chews. There was nothing. It was like you had to buy big things, like cinnamon muffins. We used to go to the place next to Duke's. On Sunset Boulevard, you go to the Duke's with us for breakfast next to the Whiskey a Go-Go?
Yeah, I've seen it.
That was the first weed store I ever walked into. They had the vending machines. Those black dudes, they didn't give a fuck whether you had a license or not. They had great shit in there. They really did. That was a great fucking medical marijuana. I had to go get my license. They let me in there twice. Like, Joe, you got to go get your license. I knew them because they were bodyguards to somebody, like Eddie Griffin. And I knew them from coming into the Comedy Store. And they did security for this weed store, and they were like, "Dog, how you doing? Great to see you. You want to come in and check out the operation?" They were selling eights in those days for $85 fucking dollars.
Is that a lot or a little?
That's a lot.
That's a lot of dough, dog.
This place is doing that nowadays, but
yeah, on Ventura Boulevard. Yeah. On Ventura Boulevard and Hollywood and Sunset, you still got places selling your weed for $85, $90.
How much is it supposed to be?
Down the corner, $35.
Oh, fuck the
I get an eighth down the corner of some fucking killer weed for $45 fucking dollars. They're tremendous.
Yeah, why pay double?
I was spending 60 a day in Hollywood, and I spend 20 a day in the Valley. If that. Because I'll buy one of those eights for fucking 35, 40 bucks, and I'll smoke those. And I have high tolerance, so the weed's delicious. The Ferrari, the fucking Hollywood OG, that shit's fucking delicious. His tolerance has gone up, though. But it this has. Is different. See, right now his eyes would be bumming out of his head.
They're almost
he's spinning.
There.
He's not doing that. This is the oil. This is
I'm
different
on the edge you. Right now.
What I could see is that your eyeball, your skin is red.
Yeah.
But your eyeballs aren't popping out of your head. You don't look all Chinese doubt and shit.
Yes, I do. Look at those eyes.
No. You look healthy. You look good, cocksucker.
But as your tolerance goes up, you enjoy it more. You used to panic. You don't panic as much.
I didn't panic before.
But he was panicking.
No, it's just a lot of.
He'd go into it panicking, so he would still panic.
He would continue the panic.
Yeah, this is going to happen to me. I'm going to get raped. The girl, this is not, And then now he just says, fuck it. What do I give a fuck?
Yeah, we get
and that's what it is. You know, I still bump into people that are like, last time I had a pot cookie, I had a bad trip. What are you talking about? What trip did you fucking take? It was a bad trip. What fucking trip? What trip did you take? What acid did you do? You didn't take no bad trip. You know what happened? You fucking went over your head and you didn't prepare yourself, or you went into it scared and the thought process. You know, that's why I don't like the edibles with jujitsu, because once my heart triggers and you start going, it becomes something else. It's not just Lee and Joey out of air. It's I'm having a fucking heart attack.
Feels like having asthma.
Yeah, your mind plays tricks on you.
And that happens when you're sober. So when you're fucking high, I can only imagine.
It happens sometimes when you're happens to you when you're sober?
Fuck yeah. In jiu-jitsu so far, sometimes I'll be like,
and you think, you're like, oh shit, this is terrible. The heat. Yeah.
So I can't even imagine being high.
What do these go for?
These go in the club for like 15, 20 bucks. Depends on the club.
250 milligram. They taste delicious. Under 100 calories. Sugar?
Yeah.
So you have sugar in them. Okay. Yeah. So you can't give them to diabetics, people.
We're working on like gluten free, and we're working on different things.
That's the thing. Listen, man, I knew a diabetic dude that him and his wife would buy a loaf of the banana bread every week. And they would eat the banana bread and do yoga. They would have a yoga lady come to their house, and they would do yoga. And then when she leave, they probably fucked that little yoga pussy. Who knew what the fuck they did? You know, they were an older couple. They had no kids. He was telling me. I met him at the weed store. He would go in there and buy a fucking loaf once a week. So edibles, that's what I'm saying to you. Edibles are a different world.
Yeah.
You know, Joe Rogan.
I prefer them,
if you email Joe Rogan, he'll tell you what happens when they hit the liver and the kidney. Because I don't know nothing. I know you eat this, and 25 minutes later, you're thinking of cheeseburgers and shit subconsciously. That's all I fucking know. I don't know what happens, how the system breaks down in your body. I really don't. I'm an ignorant fuck when it comes to that.
I prefer it as like a novice weed smoker. Like, I feel like the high is better.
You don't smoke that much weed.
Yeah, but,
I see you more, 7 out of 10 times I see you, we eat an edible.
Hell yeah.
I know. Like, tonight we smoke, but that's very rare. We never smoke together.
No, we smoke like a joint almost every podcast.
The first time, the first 2 years, we did over at your apartment.
No, even not every time here, but.
No, we don't smoke every time here at all. We smoke every 3 times.
Okay.
Three times I come, I bring weed for us. I'll say, Lee, smoke this. What do you think of this?
But I feel like smoking only affects my head, and like the edibles, I'm like, my entire body's fucked up.
Yeah, but it affects your stomach. Lee, like me, when you go home, you can't stop fucking eating those rice. You still eating those rice cakes?
Hell yeah. But,
When was the last time you ate a rice cake?
I've been out of them. I know exactly when. It was last Monday, and I ate an entire pack of caramel rice cakes after the podcast. That's 600 calories.
You say I gotta live with. So what are you trying to do, brother? I mean, you've been doing this now for 3-4 years, so you're succeeding, you're making a living.
Yeah,
you and your brother are making, you know, chirping away, which I love. I've been helping you as much as I can, you know, with the webpage and the vapor pens. You got great products.
We're just expanding.
You got to go nationwide. Fuck it.
We had 5-6 really good distributors, and now we're just going to become our own distributor, and we're going to go up and down the state, California.
And that's it?
Yeah.
Now, what about these other legals? These other states, is it legal to have these?
In other states, they have their own separate laws, but going from one state to the next is not legal. So we don't ship. A lot of people email me all the time about shipping. We definitely do not ship.
So can you sell these in Colorado?
if I lived in Colorado and I made it in Colorado and I had license, because they have their own regulations out there within their own state, then yeah, I could sell it. If I had my own club and I made my own edibles in-house, they have their own separate set of rules out there.
How hard is it for someone just getting into the business to navigate all the regulations and what forms you need and certifications? Just because I like it's so new. I'm sure if you go to the office four times, you're going to get four different answers.
There's actually people that have set up a really good business of setting people up in their pop business. Usually lawyers, and they'll cross every T, dot every I.
Good for them.
Yeah. Pretty good. I don't know any off the top of my head right now, but there's definitely people out there that'll set you up in a pop business, and they'll tell you every single law in that area, fight for you if they have to, and like city council meetings and whatever it is.
Well, the people that I've met that have started edible companies, when you talk to them sometimes on the show or whatever, they always say they had a knack for making edibles. They just had a knack for making edibles that for years people told them, man, you really know what the fuck you're doing. So one day they lost their job or whatever the fuck happened, and they started making this particular edible. Have you been good at this? I mean, the fucking gummies are great. I don't know who taught you how to make them. I don't want to fucking know, you know. But it's
just R&D, and I come from a line of spam. My mom cooks like a motherfucker. She cooks really good. Arroz con pollo, everything. Anything that you could possibly think. And that's, I have that in me. I love to spice things. I love to try things as I'm going. I cook for my family almost every night. So it's natural that edible company would be me and Pete's future.
Be honest. Is it Tweety's recipe?
No, that's our own recipe. We found similar recipes, and we like merged like four or five different recipes. And even that recipe, we've changed it over time. Like people are like, hey, they're a little tacky. Hey, they were a little dry. They're a little this. Like, you know, like all in the first like few batches, we got people around us that told us what they were and what they weren't, and we fixed them. They weren't always this strong, and now they are, so that they can hit people. They need to uppercut people.
You know, there's a thing called the jiu-jitsu lifestyle where people eat acai bowls and, you know, they get fucking whatever the fuck they do. There's definitely a lifestyle to this, and you guys are definitely the leaders in it. Ari's a close second. This is Ari's lifestyle. Ari, he loves all this shit. Like, when I talk to him, you know, it's funny what people think you want to do and what you want to do. Like, have you ever asked yourself, what can I really want to do right now? Fuck the podcast. Fuck Joe Diaz. What do I really want to do? You know what I want to do? I want to fucking move to Mexico and make beads and sell them on the side of the road and eat tamales all day till I'm 800 pounds. Would that make you happy? I mean, Leah.
Hell yeah.
I thought about, you know, like you think about that, Leah. When I was a kid, I wanted to be Charles Bronson. I wanted to have a little apartment and not have a girlfriend and not have no relationships and not, you know, I knew that if I would get I wouldn't need to talk to people. I mean, I had this whole thing about living on an island. I couldn't even imagine living like that right now. What would make you comfortable? I mean, what do you guys want to fucking do here? If you could do what the fuck you want to do, Lee, what would you be doing right now?
This. I can honestly say this.
You really like this.
I love this.
I love
it
too.
And then the only other thing, and I talked about it on my podcast today, is what I'm trying to do in Toronto. I really think it'd be cool, because like I've always wanted to go on like business trips. Like my dad went on business trips. I don't know why, it just seems like it's cool. And I feel like young comedians could really start podcasts now and then grow a following. Like imagine if you had fans, like those fans you're talking about in Houston, if they were listening to the podcast back then. And if I could go around and help young comedians start podcasts.
Well, I think if you have a feature act, let's say.
Right.
And he's a sharp kid, and he's living in Montreal, Minnesota, San Francisco. He's getting a little work, you know. He still can't make it professionally. He doesn't need to. You know, he's got a good day job in the daytime. Why not? Why wouldn't you be involved in the podcast? You know, and every listener counts. Every week you get a new listener, and you flourish. And after 4 or 5 years, when you're ready to go on the road, these people have been listening to you. You've been in communication with them. You've been emailing back and forth. You have relationships with these people. In 3 years that we've been doing this podcast, I have relationships with a lot of the listeners. that from Dante Gazzini. You know, there's a lot.
Dante's a good guy.
He's a good guy. There's a lot of people. You know, John Cutler. You know, his wife. I mean, you know, Leon, Constantine Rain.
Jordan Lee called me today to get me a
Jordan
diet
Lee.
Pill.
Jordan Lee was at the Comedy Store last night, looking like fucking James Dean before he went off the cliff. You started, you know, Edgar. You start these relationships with people. You don't hang out with them, but you're friends online, and you support them. They support you. You put a pic, whatever the fuck it is, you know. It's become something else. So, sure, I think a young comic, would benefit from talking to you. You know, the same way you have a set of things that'll work for a podcast. They're all going to learn by trial and error.
Right.
If they really put their heart to it, this is what they want to do. This is just another aspect of being a comedian,
right?
You know, this is like
this is going to make their career. But I see what it does for me, a guy who does the sound and I talk, but I'm not a comedian. I don't have an outlet that I'm trying to bring people to. So yeah, I can only imagine if I did, and I've been doing it for 2.5 years, what I could be doing. And it's just, I don't know. I just talked to Johnny Roque, and he's just so cool and so nice, and it's Everyone's so nice to me through you. Like, everyone, like there's a couple of jerks, but like, you see all these people, and not that they're struggling, but like, you can, like, I've heard you talk about it, and you can see when someone's poor or something. Like, why wouldn't you want to help someone if something like this, just talking, could really help their career?
You know what, you, Simone, Johnny Roque, D'Agostino, Rizzo, you know what you guys all have in common? And there's probably other names I could throw in there. Maybe two guys that aren't doing comedy. Maybe they're promoters. You're all looking for your way. So even though you may not all be comics, you're all in the same part of your life where you're looking for something. You're at the same threshold, or whatever the fuck it's called, of where you're there. You're just about to snap on to what you want to do, adjust the wheels, and get stronger the longer you do it after that, you know? Yeah. For some people, it takes 3 years. For some people, it takes 10 years. You're at that point right now. You've got a couple products to work with. You're not small time no more. You're just not making gummies or monos. And you could still whip out the peanut brittle if you wanted to, and if you had mass production, you know? And you could still whip up other products. Right now, this is the time to get into this business. And yeah, if you've noticed, also, when I first got my license, there was nothing like this, Lee. Chocolate bars to get high, how big were they? You had to eat fucking 2 fucking Nestle bars, Lee.
That's fucked up.
To get 80, 160 milligrams. And there was no 160 milligrams in those things in those days. You didn't know what the fuck was in there. It wasn't no 80 even. You didn't get as fucked up as we're getting now. And I can't imagine where their business is going to go in 2 or 3 years, where you're eating a throat lozenge and it's got 8,000 fucking milligrams in it. And
I used to have Listerine strips that used to get you fucked up.
What happened to those?
That's a good question. I don't go to clubs much anymore. So
they were all over Hollywood.
They were down here, though.
Yeah, they were big time. That's what Rogan used to have. Those things would light you up.
I think I came in right after that.
Those things would light you up. They would light you up. They
had one of those. It stuck together.
Oh, my God.
It was 15 times for the whole pack.
Oh, my God.
It was 15 strips in there, and they all stuck together. I had that shit on a plane.
I thought I was going to die. That was one of the worst trips of my life. Get the fuck out of here. I fucking took one from Chicago to Burbank with Martin Moreno. This is when we all worked riddles. It was Felipe, Martin, me, Chivago. We all went, Rancho Bob, whatever his name is,
Silent Bob.
And that morning I get up at 6 in the fucking morning. I look at my wallet to give the lady the ID at the Southwest counter. In those days, there used to be a tremendous flight from Midway to Burbank. Oh, it was tremendous. It got you at 10 in the morning in Burbank from Chicago. You could stop. It was early, though. And when I went to give her the license, the strip, you know, I came in a little seal of meal type deal?
Yeah.
Was stuck to the license, and I looked at it, and I thought it was one. And as I was putting in my thing, I saw it broke, and it was 2 of them, and I'm like, fuck, it's 7 in the morning. I'll eat a sandwich at the terminal. Holy, I had my shirt off. That's the first time I took my shirt off on Southwest. In those days, they had the seats that faced each other in the middle.
Yeah.
2 or 3 of those where you had to sit looking at somebody.
That's also awkward.
I was in the middle seat with these old Christian women. And dog, I started sweating profusely. I had to take that fucking shirt off. The sweat was coming off my tits.
What did you weigh back then?
What did I weigh? 390, 380.
I think that's why they stopped selling them, because everybody that I know that's had one has a story like that. Like, damn, I almost died. I had them more than once.
But that was the beginning of shock. Like, they put me into shock. Like, that was the roughest hour and a half. It was cool for like 2 hours, and then the last hour and a half was fucking hell.
People weren't ready for that.
People were using hash and keef,
and like people weren't.
There was another one too. There was a gummy. An hour and later.
I don't remember that.
Kushmart, when they were on Ivar.
I remember Kushmart.
Kushmart went on to becoming this two floor thing in Hollywood. That did, he bought the building downstairs, and they were doing recommendations. It was one-stop shopping.
I remember when they were small.
I remember when they were on the one street in Hollywood, and it was in an office building, and they got thrown out because the office people couldn't take it no more. They had dentists in there. You could smell weed in the fucking dentist office. Hysterical. Right on where the sandwiches, where we get the sandwiches, it was over there. But before that, they were on Gower. You ever go between Hollywood Boulevard and Sunset, there's those shacks on the side.
I used to work on Sunset Gower. Okay.
They had shacks. They were in a shack. And I'll never forget going in, and they had those Now and Plenties. What do they call it? Now and Laters?
Now and Laters, yeah.
They were a little skinnier. And when you looked at the baggie, you could see the haze on the juice coming out of them. And one night I went home and popped two of those. Holy Lee, that was horrible. I puked. I tripped that night. I saw stars. I kept seeing purple. I couldn't breathe. I had a crawl. I drank fucking iced tea. I drank water.
That sounds like a bad trip.
Oh, it's a bad trip. No, took too much. At that time, my body, we were eating brownies, you know, like we were eating little brownies. You didn't really know how many milligrams were in them. We weren't really fucking pitching heavy in those days.
Did you just say it's a good one?
Oh, yeah. When you get too high and, like, I've been to clubs where the ladies, like, do not eat the whole... I'm like, nonsense.
Yeah, all that shit. When a fucking girl tells me don't eat it because I'm going to get... I ate a third the other night. You also weigh 90 fucking pounds. Yeah. I'm a fucking 300-pound gorilla. Take it. And I've been doing... You're 22.
And give me another one, too.
Yeah, give me another one. As soon as somebody tells you don't eat... Did you bring your car? Don't drive because you're a fucking pussy. That's why. That's what the fun part about it is fucking driving.
Yeah.
The lights get all fuzzy.
Oh, my God.
But when you've been doing it, like, and hardcore, it's like...
Dog, I still see it. My state of mind is different. I'll tell you something. The lights get fuzzy for me.
It's scary at night.
Oh, my God.
If I'm high and tired, yeah, that's a different trip.
I'll tell you what, my eyes get fuzzy on stage. You have no idea, guys.
You can't see it all. Stage,
you see, but you can't look up. As soon as you look at the lights, they start going like this. They start switching around like somebody's playing with your head, like you got knocked out. That's what happens on stage. When you mix the adrenaline with the THC, that's why I go crazy, guys. I don't go crazy because I know. I go crazy because I got 500 milligrams in me. This is the second show. It's fighting testosterone and God knows what else in my body. I get on stage. I could see the front rows. I just can't look at the lights. As soon as I look at the lights, that's how I know I'm high.
Yeah.
That's how I know. Sometimes I'll eat two stars and go, this ain't going to fuck me up tonight.
And that's just sweating and
shit. Oh, my God. And I'll get on stage and bam, the lights start switching on you. Because it's a different game on stage. It's like jiu-jitsu. You know what I'm saying? It's the same as jiu-jitsu. But I've handled it for so long that I'm good. Jiu-jitsu, there's no way I can handle it. That's real. That's a guy on top of you. Excuse me, trying to fucking choke you to death.
That's fucked up, yeah.
But I go on stage and see the lights move around. That's scary. And that's how I know I'm fucked up. And I just ride that. Once I see the lights, guys, I just ride it after that because that's it. All systems are go, cocksucker. No, this is a good product. I'm fucked up. I'm fucked up, but I'm fucked up in a different way. I'm not googly fucked up. I'm fucked up in a nice way. Like,
we use hybrid. We don't use something too indica, too sativa, somewhere right in the middle so you can still function but still get fucked up.
Fucked up. That's all we... Listen, that's the result, okay? I don't give a fuck how you get there. I just want to get fucked up. I want this... I want people to try this and go, you know what, man? Maybe I could get off my pill addiction. That's what I think this is for.
I've given these for two people that take morphine in really dangerous amounts, and I'm like, here, try a few of these and see if it works. Like, I don't know if it's gonna work. I've never been in that much pain where I take morphine, but they switch
and they feel better now.
my buddy's grandma is like she takes he shows me the empty bottles. He's like, look, that's what she had last week. It's like, holy shit, like. And he buys like 10, 15 of them a week from me.
I think Leo sleep like a fucking king tonight, Lee.
There's no thinking about it. I'll be asleep.
I'm telling you. I'm going to sleep like a baby tonight. When you told me you were coming down tonight, I got so fucking happy. Because I'm going to sleep like a baby. I got to get up at 2 in the morning.
I wonder if Lee's stomach like cringes a little when he knows where I'm coming down here because he knows we're going to get fucked up.
It's not my stomach.
He's getting better.
People give me shit. I get high a lot now.
You know, I would call him at 9 in the morning and start my little torment.
You gotta get high at 9 in the morning.
9 in the morning.
No.
7:30.
I would call him at 7:30 and start already hinting that we're gonna go deep. You better call your mother and get the will read. You know, I go in.
Call Paula, give her a hug, leave her the wallet.
Give her a hug, give her your wallet like Lefty did in Donnie Brasco.
Call the hospital, see if they take your insurance. Just every hour and a half. And then like at like 4, be like 4, 5, 6. And, I get too high.
By the time he get here, he'd look at it. And as he was eating it, there were a couple nights I could see in his face that he was looking at the job ads that day. I knew there was a couple days that he was, like, looking at in line. Like, I don't know where my life is going. I'm 26. I could be an assistant manager by the time I'm 30 at a fucking donut place. But he stuck it out. And now, you know, listen, man. You got to have a good time sometime, you know?
When I first got out here in 06, I started working for a cannabis club. That's the funnest shit you're ever going to do in your entire life. We used to open up at 8 in the morning, 7:30. We used to be through the door, and then 8 in the morning, we used to open the doors. You better believe every single morning there was a secret society of 9 of us fucking getting stoned. 9, 10, 15 blunts. We're just all passing around. God, shit, before we go to work. Like 7:30 in the morning, 7:15 in the morning.
Yeah, but then what do you have to get for breakfast? You have to go and get like 24 eggs.
But that's part of your deal. See, when you do, listen, you have a system. People have a system. I know people who get up in the morning, drive 25 minutes, have like coffee in the morning or a protein shake, and then drive to work. Some people can't eat in the morning when they get up. Me neither. I got to have coffee and relax and get high a little bit.
Coffee is agita.
You do a little fucking tuturuts. And then you go to a diner with your boys before you go into the factory and you fucking eat 2 eggs. In those diners, it's $4.50 and you get the whole thing. 2 eggs, 2 pieces of toast, 2 pieces of sausage, 2 pancakes, you know, for $4.50 and a cup of coffee. You can't lose at those places in Jersey and Pennsylvania, shit like that.
Okay.
And you get high and it's great. I never could think about it. When I was young, I'm like, who the fuck gets high in the morning until I did it?
Love it.
Until I did it, and I was like, oh, this is a different fucking league.
If you don't need to be sober, being high all day, like, just enjoy your day.
I started getting high my sophomore year. And before that, I was getting high at lunchtime. Where I would get high, like, after school, before. And then once I started before 7 and getting high and going to the gym, that's when you just break all the fucking boundaries. Like, once you start getting... Did I tell you today the fucking bar slipped out of my hand, guys? I was sweating up a fucking storm at the gym, and I didn't put the things in. I was doing close grip bench presses with 135 fucking pounds, and guys, the fucking my right bar slipped, and I caught it in the air. I wouldn't be here talking to you guys right now because the bar would have hit the floor, the weight would have fell down, and this would have just caved right on me. It was scary, and I knew it. I fucking knew it. I didn't put my thumb. I was doing them so close that I didn't put my thumb under the bar. My wrist was hurting, so I had to do them this way. So I would just bring them up and push very slowly on the last set. I picked it up, and as I went down, the fucking bar slipped. It went right off my palm this morning. Tremendous.
Jesus.
I caught it. The trainer came in. What happened? I said, none. She goes, make sure you put fucking collars on that thing, Joey. You're going to kill yourself. Yeah, I didn't go to jiu-jitsu today. I had that stupid audition, so it cut into my day.
So where they looked at your hands?
Huh?
Where they looked
at your hands? No, this was to go down there and talk to the fucking guy. I'm telling you what, I was happy as Warner Brothers. Because if it was over that fucking hill, I would have had a heart attack. It was horrible, Lee. It was hard. I left there fucking pissed. And I go, you know what? I'm not going to get pissed. I had an audition. My agent's trying. I go, let me go home and put my shorts on. I walked to the Y. And I fucking did my upper. I did not do the elliptical. I just did the fucking weights, but I did them heavy. And then I went outside and did like 2,000 fucking sit-ups with an 8-pound ball because that's all I know how to do for sit-ups. I just go back and kick my legs. And And I was drenched today. I walked home, dog. I had to drink two things of fucking iced tea. My wife said, I got to make iced tea again. I lost every fucking fluid. I only lost like 1 pound. It's amazing. You sweat gallons and you only lose 1 fucking pound.
Motherfuckers.
Motherfuckers. What's up, brother? You ready for the weekend?
He looks at the edibles taking a strike.
Yeah.
Hold
it's good, though. You want me to taste it? I can tell. He's handling it. What do you got this weekend, my brother?
I got 2 consultations this week.
All right.
And then I don't know. I don't know what Paul and I are doing this weekend.
I don't know what you're doing this weekend. You're a fucking momo. What are you doing this weekend, my brother?
I'm probably spending it with the family. You know how that goes.
How old is your son now?
He's just turned 1. And 27 you having a good time last year. With him? Oh, yeah. All the time. I watch him every single day.
He's walking. He's crawling.
He's running is what he's running. Doing.
All right, good, good.
Little
good.
Fucker.
You lock up the edibles around?
Oh, yeah, they're not even
there. I took them out of the office now. I took everything out of there. Yeah. A couple of weeks ago, I had a friend of mine come
separate
by.
Houses, like not even like.
And take everything. Yeah, I started getting scared by mistake. I left 2 chunks of hash on my night table.
Yeah, and they grab it. They'll grab anything and put it in their mouth.
I said, that's it. I took everything out. Yeah. I'm nothing in the house.
All it takes is that first time, and then you're like, fuck.
They eat anything. They take the kids.
That fear is inside of you.
Oh, fuck you. Fuck. Because I know I would eat shit. Yeah. I would eat anything. I'd eat cat shit when I was a fucking kid. Yeah. So I'm scared. So I said, no, that's it. No more weed in the house. No more gummies. No more nothing in the fucking house. It all stays outside. I'm done with it.
Even though you know deep down that if they, like any dose they have, they're not going to die. They're just going to have a ride. You know? There's no lethal dose.
My little Mercy eats one of those stars. She ain't going to handle that, dog.
She's just in a panic. Like,
she's fucking crazy. Mercy's crazy, dog. I'm convinced she's out of her fucking mind. She's my daughter. She's definitely my daughter. It's just crazy. But this, I told you, I'm going to have to pay for my sins. I'm paying for my... She swims, guys. It's off and running.
How old, though?
She's a month away from being 2.5. And she's going from me to the mother. And you sit there and look at... I look at the mother. Last week, I was throwing her up in the air 5 feet. And she was landing and coming out going, more time. More time, Daddy. More time. So it becomes a fucking blast. But sign him up for swimming. You got a bunch of swimming programs.
Or sign him up for anything he wants.
Everything.
No restrictions.
Everything. I don't give a fuck. The piano, the violin, fucking face painting. Do it. Do it at least one time. You're not going to know what happens until you do it, bro. Mm. You know? You're not going to fucking know.
I didn't know there were face painting classes.
Yeah. I'm happy you're going down there. And I told you, it's a different conversation, Lee. This is what I say to you about the gym. You start going to the gym with your girl. You turn the gym into something. You bring a movie thing. The gym is to clean out that fucking head. To just think. If you go to the gym properly, every time on the gym on the way home, you call me and go, I just thought of something. But you don't use the gym like that. You put that TV on and you watch a movie, so you're into the fucking movie, so you don't see the thing. I'd rather you put a towel on that, bring a joint with you, and right before you walk into 24-hour fitness, this is what you do. You go, and you go, turn the joint off. It'll last you a month and a half, and your life will fucking change. And don't bring the phone in there with you, because you don't have a kid. What do you give a fuck? What do you get? Who's going to call you? Me, to annoy you, and the broad to text you. So you're on the tech, then you're going to fall off the fucking machine.
Oh, no, text on the machine.
So you leave the fucking thing at home, and you go in there and watch what happens. Your whole life will change after a month. Give me 30 fucking days, and I'll clear up your head. That's what you go to that. That's what martial arts is about. You go there to talk to different people just so you don't have to hear about fucking podcasts and comedians and my joke and my CD and a book and law school and fucking Mike Scholarship. And if not, we're going to go with my cousin to see Lana Del Rey and ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. You know what that happens after to you for a while? Your head blows up. So when you start going to other people and you see how the other half lives, it makes you appreciate that fucking half. The martial art, what I say to you in the beginning, I don't know what you're going to do with this, but I hope this opens your eyes to something else on Tuesday nights, whether you like this or not. You know, on Tuesdays from now on at 6:30, I'm going to join a strength and conditioning class from scratch, beginners. And you go and you hope these fucking morons aren't in the movie industry. You pray to God they're not fucking actors. You pray to God they're just normal people. So when you get there, that it's not that same boring-ass conversation. That's why I go to those things. That's why I go. It's these kids, and they talk to me about their tournaments and how they're training, and they broke up with their girlfriend and whatever the fuck. And I enjoy it. It's in contrast to the same shit you and I talk about. No hands, no pardon me.
I understand what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying, bro?
And
you with your brother all fucking day. What are you talking about all day? Weed and the fucking Yankees and the fucking dog.
You know, Cubans are just complaining about shit.
You know, and that's why I do that. It's called peace of mind for 1 hour. For 1 hour, you go in there. If you can't do the hip escapes, you go, Zach, I can't do the fifth one. And you go to the side. And then when you're ready to go, jump in. But while you're sitting there, you're going to think of something. You're going to go, wow, I didn't. Oh, my God, I could. You know what? I'm going to fucking get in there. And even if they tap you, you're going to go, you know what? I'm going to go in there to breathe. Just and every week I go in there, you go, this week, I'm going to last 10 more seconds. And now it becomes a personal challenge. Now you got something vested in it.
Yeah, this dude was really nice last night. Like, we were rolling. Forget his name. But he asked if I knew anything. And I said no. And he showed
Let's
me.
Let's go. Grab
he
this.
Showed me how to, like, flip you over. Like, if you're on top. I think if you're on top and I can flip you over.
A sweep. Yeah, he taught you a sweep.
Oh, is that what it's called?
Yeah. Those people. And here you are sweating on them, huffing and puffing. Yeah. And they're like, all right, grab this collar. Grow onto my arm. Pull that. You see what happens? All right, now choke. And you're like, okay. And they're like, no, choke hard. And you're like, I'm choking. They're like, no, fucking choke me. And all of a sudden you're like, and you're like, wow, this guy just let me fucking choke him to teach me the technique. Yeah. That's like me coming up to you and saying, Lee, you didn't punch me right. Punch me again in the fucking jaw. Who does that? And any other kickbox or karate? No. In jiu-jitsu, it's a fucking wild brotherhood. I have not figured it out, but I tell you what, I don't need to. I just know I love it. When you're on top and the guy's sweating and you grab him and he could fucking kill you. That's the discipline. That's what the whole thing is about. It's not about fucking killing people and choking. Gives a fuck about that.
My pants keep falling down when I have it. Like, do you have like another belt? Like, should I get it like a really long belt? Like, you always fall down.
Just constantly. Tighten the fucking thing.
I do.
Let me give some shout outs. I got to give my brother out of here. The guy must have walked the fucking Sun Valley already with that dog in back, huh? It's 100 degrees out there, that poor guy.
Nah, I'm sure he's in his truck. He found somewhere to go.
Let me give some shout outs here to my girl Joyce Matheson, Evil Monkey, Cassius Morris, still making it happen, Michael Salgado, James Robinson, Ricardo Juarez, Joey Biamonte, Sandman, and my main man, Peter motherfucking Garcia. So where do people go? Let's clear this up. To get the strawberry milkshake bar, the cookies and cream, the brown dream bar, the espresso bar, and the old gata bar if they live in California.
If you're in California and you're impatient, you can go to losgummieshermanos.com or I'm on Instagram at losgummieshermanos. I'm on Twitter at losgummies. Right now I'm doing patient to patient, but we're looking to expand to clubs in Southern California.
Keep refrigerated. Look at the warnings. Keep away from children and pets. Oh, shit, Lee. This is the rice pudding or kata. See, you don't know what you're missing.
And flying
juice. That's not going to be our official label. That's just for you.
No, I love this label with the fucking X. It's like those St. Bernards. Remember those dogs that would come into the mountains and fucking
with the barrel around their head?
With the barrel on their head and fucking one of these on their neck. Fuck yeah, ladies and gentlemen. It's a beautiful night here. Wednesday night, June 20 fucking whatever. And that's it, brother. So where can they go? Is there a number they could call? So right now, no peanut brittle, just Los Gummies and just the white chocolate bars.
Yeah, our products are gummies and the five white chocolate-based products right there. Anything else would have to be a super special order. We would have to have done a lot of business with you and to make something special for you.
And if somebody wants to buy 20 of them and they live in Oakland, they'll contact you.
Yeah, Oakland's real easy. That's right by me. Okay. I'm always in Oakland.
All right. It's a beautiful thing, Lee. It's nice and easy. Nobody got their feelings hurt. And we're back here fucking Monday.
Sounds fun.
I go to San Diego on Tuesday with the fucking family.
We got
to
get high again, though. We got to get high again.
Oh, tonight?
Right now, right?
Oh, no. I got to get out of here. I'm fucking tanked.
Are you crazy?
I'm sober.
We can't be smoking.
You're not sober.
Let me give some shout outs to some people here. Number one, onit.com. I used the fucking Shroom Tech today, sport, and I went there, and I did better than I've ever done. My shirt was wet. My lungs felt great. My face didn't get really red when I was doing bent over rows. Shroom Tech makes it happen, man. You know, it works for me. I don't know if it'll work for you, but you won't know until you give it a try. Do me a favor. Also, they specialize in the alpha brain. The nootropics, complete earth-grown nootropics with alpha GPC and AC11. Do I know what AC11 is? No, I just know that you remember shit and your thinking's a little bit sharp and whatnot. Go to Onnit.com right now and press in.
Church.
I'm going to give you 10% off your first order, and they have the Stay Onnit program. Listen, they got a ton of fucking shit. You know, I got a box of stuff, and I gave some to my jiu-jitsu buddies. They love the T+. They love the hemp chocolate is what I fucking drink every day. I fucking love it. 16 grams of protein a scoop gives you 32. Your body can only assimilate 30 anyway. Why are you eating fucking 90 grams in those milkshakes? You know what I'm saying? Go to hemp chocolate right now. Go to Onnit.com and press in.
Cheers.
Boom! And take a look at their great products, whether it's the Shroom Tech Sport, Immune, whether it's the fucking Alpha Brain, whether it's the motherfucking New Mood, whether it's the T+, I mean the coconut fat for your tea and your chocolate. Trust me, I'm telling you. Go to Onnit.com. Number two, the best underwear in the market. Fucking hands down, all right? Hands down. I use them to work out. Lee said his nutsack pops out of his underwear, so he understands what I'm talking about.
At jiu-jitsu, it does.
With MeUndies. Listen, not only are they fucking great to wear, not only do they keep you dry, not only do they fit fucking great and you feel great when you're wearing them, you have no problem. You wear underwear, guys, and there's always a problem. You always got to reach for your nut and pull that out and pull that out and pull that out. That shit don't fucking happen with MeUndies.com. I'm telling you, they're the best fucking underwear on the market right now. But who the fuck am I? You're like, Joey, who the fuck are you? You're a fat buck. You probably stress those motherfuckers out. That's right. And they still work for me, and they still keep my nutsack dry, and they still have no pimples on my ass because I got no fucking moisture. Whenever I wear those fucking underwear, I get little whiteheads. I got to keep popping them and shit in the middle of the night. They go pop, pop, pop with the sleep apnea machine on. That shit don't happen with MeUndies because they keep the odor out. They keep the sweat out. They keep me cool, and they keep my nuts where they fucking belong. But don't fucking hear it from me. Go to MeUndies.com right now and look at the great selection of women and men's fucking underwears that they have, different colors. Styles. They got great sweatpants. They got long ones. They got short ones. They got great like rash guards. They're a thin t-shirt. But hey, go to MeUndies.com and press in.
Joey.
And what do they get?
20% off their first order.
And free shipping in Canada and motherfucking United States. You're like, Joey, are you fucking pulling my leg? No. 20%. Most Jews give you 10. The people I run with give you fucking 20 and free fucking shipping. So go to MeUndies.com and press in.
Joey.
Boom! And get 20% off, all right? Number two, you're like, Joey, 4th of July is coming. You and the other fucking Nick DeToro and this other fucking Jew fuck, you're talking about food. What do you got for me? You know what I got for you? Come here. Bring your ear close. Nature Box, cocksucker. That's what I got for you. You know what it is? Free. F-R-E-E. When was the last time you got something for free? Nobody gives you nothing for free. All I'm telling you is go to naturebox.com right now. And look at the great fucking selection of shit they got. Nutrition, healthy. They have resealables so you can bring them in and only eat three of them instead of the whole box like a fucking fat animal that you are when you got fucking, when you're high, you fat fuck. Because I was one of those people. In fact, I'm still am one of those people that I got control. So you'd have a reseal. You'd have to eat everything right there. Because fat people always think everything's going to go bad, even though it's not going to go bad. So we eat the whole box, and we justify that to make better. With fucking Nature Box, they have a seal.
I never resealed it. It never lasted.
That's because you got problems. The garlic plantains, the South Pacific plantains, the chocolate nom noms. Listen, they're throwing heat over there at Nature Box. But don't take it from me. You know what? It's for free. You're going to pay for shipping and handling, maybe $2. Stop complaining. Go to naturebox.com and press in.
Go to naturebox.com/Joey.
Boom, and there you have it. A free fucking sample box. Two big bags and three little bags. Who gives you that type of love? Uncle Joey. You got MeUndies, you got Onnit. And how about a big round of applause, whatever the fuck you want to give him, for my main man over at Nailed It Life. Look at him. He's looking at me like Johnny Zombo. He's so high. He's trying to make us smoke more shit here. Thank you, brother, for coming on. Thank you for sponsoring us this whole time and being a great sponsor and taking care of us and always bringing chocolates down here. And
it's always a pleasure.
Gummies. You should have brought Lee a Gummies. He lives for those fucking things. So eat the whole thing. Remember, when Lee first started, he'd only eat the head. He's moved up. He's done. He's well. He's fucking raised around amongst the ranks.
You can all aspire to this.
Look at the shape of this fucking moutage. I love you guys. This week I'm in Boston. Thursday night I'm at the Comedy Store. For this is what I'm not. This is not happening. I'm hosting for my man Ari Shaffir while he's on assignment in Israel. He's going to Jerusalem to see if Jesus really died. And beside that, I love you, motherfuckers. See you Monday. Stay black, and we'll be here. Have a great weekend. Boston, get ready to fucking rock, cocksuckers.
This show is brought to you by NatureBox.com. Don't forget to go to naturebox.com and sign up to get your free sampler box of great-tasting healthy snacks. Forget the vending machine and start snacking smarter with delicious treats like barbecue kettle kernels. Go to naturebox.com/Joey. That's naturebox.com/Joey. And also go to meundies.com/Joey and check out the pics of the men's and women's underwear they have, shirts, socks, shorts, and sweatpants. When you go to meundies.com/Joey, you're going to get 20% off of your first order and free shipping in the United States and Canada. And lastly, go to onnit.com and use code word church to get 10% off of all of the great optimization products.
Sabotage.